go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Minute past the hour, and hey, look at it. It's Friday on the front porch on the horn. A little time to kick back on the at the end of the week, run through the stuff that's still in the stack that didn't get gotten to. Your topics as you wish. Of course, that's largely the same any other given day of the week. But, you know, maybe we'll be a little more lighthearted. Maybe we'll, cut back on some of the gloom and doom, or maybe we won't. It's all a matter of what happens when you walk up on the porch and knock the dust off your boots and put your feet up and either get a big swig out of the jug or nice glass of iced cold sweet tea, lemon optional. It's just a front porch conversation as we head into the weekend. And, yeah, There certainly is stuff to clear out of the list tonight because, you know, the stack kind of goes, you really can't carry stuff over more than a week or so because sooner or later everybody's talked about everything. That's just how the universe works, I guess. A little reminder, with each program, we try to raise $60. Not 70, not 50. Well, 70 would be great, but $60. That's roughly the amount that it takes on a show-by-show basis to get us from 1 month to the next. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So is the snail mail address, if you're more comfortable with that. It works both ways. But if you'd like to kick in, you know, at $10 a month contributions, if you contribute $10 a month to the Horn, it means that the Horn programming is running you less than 5 cents per hour. I don't know anything that's less than 5 cents per hour, but the Horn is. And, you know, nobody's trying to get rich. We're just trying to keep it going. If we were trying to get rich, we would have quit this a long time ago. But the conversation is what matters. Friendly conversation. An imaginary front porch, an imaginary back fence, that after the conversation gets started isn't quite so imaginary anymore, is it? It's just virtual. One of these days I've got to set up a second life room for the Horn. Wouldn't that be fun? Let's start out by remembering something, if you please. This is the 5th day of August, the 6th. Will fall tomorrow, Saturday. And just before showtime, I got a note in from Tim from L.A. And Tim said every August 6th, or the weekend of, we would sit down, my family, and talk about Hiroshima. Why? My aunt survived the bombing only to die 6 months after 9/11 from thyroid cancer. My mother and I would talk about what my aunt told my parents a long time ago, how she and a classmate were the sole survivors in their high school. From what my mother told me, my aunt said that while in class, the wall fell and produced a lean-to. The classmates piled on top of each other, and my aunt and her classmate were on the bottom while the teacher tried to protect the students. My aunt doesn't know how long she was out, but she and her classmate, the only survivor in the school, crawled out from under the dead bodies and went their respective ways. My aunt was astonished. There was nothing. There were people walking in a daze. Eyeballs popped out. Intestines exploded out of the various orifices. And the most sickening of Truman's destruction, women dragging dead, burnt fetuses out of themselves, still attached to the umbilical cord. My aunt told my parents that when she was walking home, people on the floor would say, okay, this is going to take some work. Watashi ni misu o ataete kudasai. Or, please give me water. She did, and they would thank her and die. Or if some screamed for help, she would try to pull them out of the rubble and their burnt flesh would come out exposing a skeleton. And people would be on fire, running out of a building, jumping into the Hongkawa River, only to be cooked alive from the intense heat from the bomb. And the strange thing, my aunt forgave the pilot of the Enola Gay, Paul Tibbets, and Truman, and she became a United States citizen. Which, says Tim, leads me to Fukushima. The same thing is happening again, but this time the nuke was not from the U.S., not from we the people, but from a corporation whose CEO is from General Electric, the corporation that created and designed the reactor and now the jobs czar for the Obama administration. The irony is disgusting. And now the radiation is probably heading or has headed toward West Virginia. Combine it with mountaintop removal, and the good folks in West Virginia are being hit twice. Once from GE and once from the coal industry. I never thought your small town would be a victim of capitalism and no one cares. Boy, was I wrong, says Tim. Thanks for the note, Tim. And thanks for the reminder. Regardless of how one faces the history of the means by which we ended the war in the Pacific, it must be remembered. There will be, well, it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow in Hiroshima already, isn't it? And there will be a tolling of a bell at some point. A quiet reminder of the horrors of nuclear war. And we must remember that we, the United States, the good guys, are the only country ever to nuke another country. And the debate is still open as to whether it was necessary. The Japanese had begun suing for peace a couple of months earlier. They had asked for surrender terms. Their primary term was that they be allowed to keep their emperor. And we said no thanks. Unconditional surrender or no surrender at all. And so after the atomic attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that unconditional surrender was tendered, and we let them keep their emperor anyway. And what does that tell you? The most common myth presented is that it would have cost 1 million American lives to take the Japanese home island by conventional invasion. That, at least what I've read of it, that has largely been debunked. But remember on the 6th, school children, wives, mothers, indiscriminately slain non-combatants, murdered to bring about the end of the Second World War, because the Empire of Japan learned in the blasts at Hiroshima and Nagasaki that we were far more brutal than they could ever even dream of being. That we were far more bloodthirsty than they had the ability to be. And that's even considering things like the Bataan Death March and the brutality of the rape of Nanking on August the 6th, 1945. We outpaced that brutality by leagues. So remember, just remember. Another email coming in from Paul in Portland. Just a little suggestion. Subject line reads toaster. Oh God! One of these days, if we, you know, I don't know, hit the lottery or get some funding, you know, big times, we really will. We'll mail out toasters, or maybe a virtual toaster, something. But toaster asks Paul, "Dear Bob, I've been listening to your show and what has been said about Grover Norquist. I had a great idea for a title for him, since he is the unelected, unnominated leader of the Republican Party. Here it is, Star Trek reference, Grand Negus. The Grand Negus is the head of all Ferengi commerce. And remember, the Ferengi are concerned only with profit and material wealth. The Grand Negus is the head of all Ferengi commerce. He carries a staff with a golden Ferengi head on it, which all Ferengis must kiss when he enters the room. That's how I imagine it works for Grand Negus Norquist. Whenever he walks into a room, they have to bow before him and kiss his ring, or worse. The Grand Negus doesn't negotiate. He decrees all terms of business he is involved with, and all Ferengi fear him because he can ruin them financially and make them unemployed and destitute. So if you think it works, he can be known as Grover Norquist, Grand Negus of the Republican Party. Could this earn me my first toaster? Toaster awarded, Paul! Toaster awarded! Grand Negus! Now, you're going to have to help me remember that. Grand Negus, Grover Norquist. Because, you know, the Republicans really are Ferengis. Thank you, Paul. The Republicans really are Ferengis if you like to get into your Star Trek, because they don't care. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will kill, they will do anything they have to make a profit. They've already proven it. They are trying to strip the power away from the Environmental Protection Agency so that they can continue blasting and poisoning throughout this area, the oldest mountains on Earth, this temperate rainforest, this place that once was a watershed of crystal clear springs bubbling out of the ground and running down mountain rills and running through the little hollers and creases in those multi-million, hundreds of millions years old mountains that once looked like the Himalayas, but now are worn and rounded. Ferengis. Yeah. Ferengis. Now all we got to do is get Grover Norquist the dental work to put it over the top. Ron and Raleigh reminding me, hey, Bob, remember, Ferengi heaven is the great exchequer. You know, we've got so many Star Trek fans in this audience, in our Horn family. Maybe we ought to go to one of the big sci-fi conventions one year and just broadcast live from there. And just, for a week, just have this massively expanded metaphor. Because it's there for the taking. Grand Negus Grover Norquist. Kind of has a ring for it, doesn't it? Let's see, a quote from Jug of Punch in the chat room. Quark from Deep Space Nine, profit motive. Oh, believe me, the Negus has the greatest business mind in the entire Ferengi Alliance, always thinking 10, sometimes 20 steps ahead of everyone else. Oh, no, not that. No, no, please, no multidimensional chess tonight. But I guess some people are feeling a little bit better. The stock market didn't quite go completely in the toilet today. Not quite as horrifying job numbers as perhaps expected, but certainly nothing that says, oh, happy days are here again and prosperity is just around the corner. No, I think we'll be a while getting there. But like I said, it's Friday on the front porch, and on the front porch, it's always fun to go through some of the stuff that might have been missed along the way. I got an email earlier today from our blogger, Texas Betsy, emailing a tweet. You're going to love this. Yeah, because we are. It's just a little more lighthearted. Turns out somebody's gotten their hands on Texas Governor Rick Goodhair Perry's grades from Texas A&M University down there in College Station. Now, Rick Goodhair Perry, via a spokesman, recently told the Texas Tribune that the university is very important to him and helped shape who he is today. So I guess we're supposed to blame Texas A&M. Well, if you ever had any doubts of what I have said in the past, that being a politician does not require any great brains, let this serve as further confirmation of that. The only thing required to be a great politician is to have tremendous, overbearing ambition, whether you got any brains or not. I mean, Jesus, look at the teabaggers. Over at the Huffington Post, the following quote: the future politician did not distinguish himself much in the classroom. You can see the actual transcript, a scan of the transcript, over at Tegan Goddard's Political Wire, politicalwire.com. The future politician did not distinguish himself much in the classroom. While he later became a student leader, he had to get out of academic probation to do so. Now remember, this is Texas A&M, not freaking Harvard, okay? This is Texas A&M. He rarely earned anything above a C in his courses, earning a C in U.S. history, a D in Shakespeare, and a D in the principles of economics. And then there's this: Perry got a C in gym. No, really, he got a C in gym. That D in Shakespeare, that had to be fun. Let's see. Who are meeting together at the beginning of Macbeth? You can just imagine Rick Perry's answer: Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Yeah, D in Shakespeare, C in Jim, D in Principles of Economics. And yet he's taking credit for the booming Texas economy. Jesus. So just remember, we're not exactly talking about rocket scientists here. And you know, it doesn't take by extension, it doesn't take a great deal of brains to succeed in business. That just demands that one be solely motivated by an overarching urge to make money. That's called greed. And with that in mind, I chuckled a little bit when I got a dispatch earlier today from our good friend Eugene Finnerman over at finnermanworks.com, F-I-N-E-R-M-A-N, works, W-O-R-K-S, finnermanworks.com. Go over and subscribe to Your RDA of Irony, if you haven't already. You will get little history lessons, little musings, periodically in your email box. And you know what? Your IQ goes up just because you're getting email from Eugene Finnerman. Today's your RDA of irony, Confessions of a Schlemiel. Eugene noting, I once got a paper cut opening a Band-Aid, and my luck hasn't improved. I didn't even know that I was an investor in an oil drilling company until I received notice of its bankruptcy. While I perused the packet of legal documents, looking in vain for any intelligible sentence amidst the jargon, I had to wonder how an oil company could lose money. Was it drilling through shale using silver spoons? Says Eugene, I could get 500 barrels of oil a day just running a comb through Mitt Romney's hair. Now, the corporation was offering itself as a buffet to its creditors, but it first required the stockholders' consent. As the mystified owner of 45 shares, would I please approve the payment of $12.4 million to the company's top executives? For my effort and inadvertent investment, I would have, and this is the legal phrase, a 0% claim or 0% on the company's assets. A 0% claim on 0% on the company's assets. Unfortunately, the enclosed permission slip only offers me a yes or no choice. I might have proposed a severance package with a guillotine. Yet such effortless chaos requires a certain genius. Eugene noting, I am a Salieri of Schlemiels compared to these Mozarts of mayhem. If only we could find the perfect niche for such monumental incompetence, they really should be running Iran's nuclear arms program. Now, the scary thing, Eugene, is that they really are running the United States' nuclear program. Yeah, it doesn't do me much good either. Well, we are $10 $10 toward the 60 we need to raise tonight. That leaves only five slots in tonight's Thrifty 250. So jump right in if you wish. No, there's a ton of stuff out there, really. I've sat on this and sat on this and sat on this, never got around to it. But if you've ever received an email from me, and I try to email with everyone who writes, if you've ever received an email from me, you will notice that my SIG line, anytime I send out an email, is a quote, the following quote, a normal person functioning well on the upper levels of a prosperous industrialized society can hardly hear his conscience at all. Well, you know what? Those words are too dirty to be read by high school children in Republic, Missouri. Well, okay, maybe not technically, because those words come from God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater by Kurt Vonnegut Jr., whereas it's Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut Jr. that has just been summarily banned from high schools from the high school in Republic, Missouri. You know this, right? I'm getting to this story too late, but God, you can't just let one of these lay around forever. It has to at least be spoken of, and frankly, this is one of those where the more the merrier. Because Republic, Missouri needs to be made to understand that they are a laughingstock now. That those of us who are normal and decent consider Republic, Missouri to be a bastion of morons. The vote of the Republic, Missouri School Board was 4-0 in favor of banning Slaughterhouse 5, subtitled The Children's Crusade, from ever being seen by the dainty, tender, young eyes of high school students in that community. Also banned was 20 Boy Summer by Sarah Ockler and Speak by Lori Hulse Anderson. That one dodged a bullet. The action of the Republic Missouri School Board came as a result of a complaint filed by a parent that these three books must be removed from the shelves. No, really. Because they teach principles contrary to the Bible. Because they teach principles contrary to the Bible. Republic, Missouri resident Wesley Scroggins. Jesus, put some cream on that thing and your Scroggins will go away. Oddly enough, irony of ironies, in seeking the banning of a Kurt Vonnegut book, Wesley Scroggins. Well, we've got medicine for that, Scroggins. Wesley Scroggins has made himself the butt of his own joke because it's in another collection of Vonnegut's work called Welcome to the... No. It's in a play, I think. Yes, a play called Happy Birthday, Wanda June. That Vonnegut, being the somewhat experimental writer that he was, Lord, how we miss him, that Vonnegut invented, was trying to invent some new dirty words to replace the old tired ones, like the one that begins with F and ends with a K, you see. And in attempting to come up with some new dirty words, Kurt Vonnegut invented the word scrog. I believe the exact usage in Happy Birthday, Wanda June was, I want to scrog her ears off. It also features a character who likes to eat onions like apples. Wesley Scroggins said, I congratulate them for doing what's right and removing the two books. It's unfortunate they chose to keep that other book. The Other Book, Speak, is an award-winning novel that details the personal struggles of a young woman who was a victim of high school age date rape. Vern Miner, who was the school superintendent, said that Speak got spared because there's only one page that was tastefully, not graphically, used to describe the rape. Just one page, and they did it tastefully. It was a tastefully described rape. You know, you don't want to get all graphic describing rape. After all, it is graphically violent all in and of itself. We don't even like to use the word in polite conversation, you understand. But it was a tastefully described rape, so Speak got to stay on the library shelves in Republic, Missouri. But Slaughterhouse-Five, oh, that had to go. Because it's got characters in it, you know, imaginary people, like a porn star, and her name is Montana Wildhack. And she and Billy Pilgrim are transported to an alien galaxy and live in a home. It's like a zoo that the aliens, the Tralfamadorians, keep there. And it's a zoo, and they put poor little Billy Pilgrim, the optometrist. I don't know why an optometrist would want to get messed up with somebody named Montana Wildhack. I didn't read the book. And they put him in a zoo there, and them aliens watch him a copulating. Mm-hmm. And Billy Pilgrim comes all unstuck in time, and he goes back and forth from Tralfamador to when he was captured during the Battle of the Bulge and forced to clean up after the firebombing of Dresden that didn't happen on August the 6th but actually killed more people than Hiroshima, that was done just as nothing more than an act of repulsive vengeance on the part of a man named Bomber Harris. Created a firestorm so bad that it sucked up every last molecule of oxygen in the entire city. And young Kurt Vonnegut 19 years old, a prisoner of war, kept in the basement of a slaughterhouse, survived that massacre, and found a way to write about it in the person of a fictional character named Billy Pilgrim, an optometrist from Ilium, New York. For those of you who recognize Ilium as another name for Troy, you'll know where Vonnegut's beloved Ilium stood, close by the western Massachusetts border, not too awfully far from Albany. 20 Boy Summer had to go, because that was a book about a little girl who struggles with loving another after her boyfriend suddenly dies. And the Republic, Missouri School Board decided that focused too much on sensationalizing sexual promiscuity. See, it wasn't just a one-page tasteful description of rape, you see. And another reason we had to get rid, because it's against biblical principles, remember? Well, Slaughterhouse 5 had to go because it acknowledges that homosexual men were victims in the Holocaust. And it's got some dirty words in it. And yes, Montana Wild Hack and Billy Pilgrim really do the nasty they do. And the funny thing is, Republic, Missouri did this even though in 1982 the Supreme Court of the United States had already ruled on this issue. The plurality of the court held local school boards may not remove books from school library shelves simply because they dislike the ideas contained in those books and seek by their removal to prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or other matters of opinion. Well, meanwhile, the school superintendent Vern Miner, he said, "Well, you know what? You know why we took that Slaughterhouse 5 off the shelves? The language is just really, really intense. I don't think it has any place in high school. I'm not saying it's a bad book. Well, I'm glad he's not saying it's a bad book, because it turns out the little idiot had not read it." Or at least all of the idiots on the school board, all four of them. Not, I think only one of them had actually read the three books in question. They were just going on the complaints of Wesley Scroggins. Who said that it was unbiblical. Jeebus. Because we can't have children learning about the horrors of war. We believe, Vern Miner said, we believe Slaughterhouse 5 is more appropriate for college-age students. Well, you want to bet there's a copy of the Bible in that library. There's more violence and unage-appropriate conduct in that book than there is if you stacked up every work of Kurt Vonnegut to the damn ceiling. So, goodbye, Mr. Vonnegut. School children don't need to understand what you went through and why you became a pacifist. They don't need to know what happens to a human mind that has witnessed something as brutal as the Second World War, and in fact has witnessed the wholesale slaughter of an entire city of innocent people. No, high school students don't need to know that in Republic, Missouri. And after all, just like Wesley Scroggins says, they teach principles contrary to the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Slaughterhouse 5 teaches principles contrary to the Bible. When in actuality, Slaughterhouse 5 teaches about the need to avoid war, to love your fellow man, to have compassion for people you don't even know, to in fact... Well, yeah, that's contrary to the Bible, especially that part about loving your enemies. Because that ain't in the Bible nowhere, is it? What? Really? Jesus said love your enemies? Well, I reckon Wesley Scroggins was absent that day at Sunday school, don't you? Reverbo noting, no, really. Too bad his holiness, in quotes, due to Mr. Vonnegut's past presidency of the American Humanist Association, isn't still around to comment on these asshats. By the way, the author of Slaughterhouse 5, arguably one of the most inventive anti-war novels, was born on Armistice Day, 1922. He was born on November 11th, 1922. He never liked the name changed to Veterans Day. Rather, the concept of a war to end all wars was more to his broader scope. Armistice means a cessation of hostilities, whereas Veterans Day merely recognizes that people have participated in them. Robert in Australia. Has anyone made the joke yet? I want this book banned. It's full of sex, incest, murder, and the lead character has magic powers and rapes a young girl and then has his son murdered. It supports slavery, demeans women, and on and on and on. What? Well, what's it called? The Bible. True, 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 true. What must a town like Republic, Missouri be like? I mean, I know a little bit about Missouri. I spent a couple of years there going to college right after getting out of high school. Funny how that often follows getting out of high school for some. Right smack dab in central Missouri. And it really didn't feel a whole lot different from Alabama. But they did think themselves absolutely superior. You're from where? You wear shoes? Republic, Missouri. You know what? If I'm ever on the road and I see a sign that says Republic, Missouri, I'm speeding up to twice what I'm doing. I'm getting through and I'm getting by and I'm getting around, getting done. I don't want a molecule of ignorant Republic, Missouri air to land on me. Because it's fairly clear that the IQ of Republic, Missouri is dropping and falling ever exponentially faster according to the laws of physics. What is that? 1 meter per second per second? Yeah. Republic, Missouri. But you know what? Republic, Missouri has competition. Then, stupid. Oh, yes, Lord, yes. They have competition in the stupid. I take you to Citrus County, Florida. Yeah, just come on up, pour yourself a lemonade, iced tea, what have you. Get a swig. It's Front Porch Friday. Citrus County, Missouri. The teabaggers there have decided that America faces, or at least Florida, their little corner of it, faces a grave and growing threat. One which patriotic, upstanding, God-fearing, good Christian Americans dare not let pass by. What could that threat possibly be? Well, here's the pull quote from the story. A Florida Tea Party has taken another step in its effort to protect the citizens of the United States. While its current list of enemies of the state is expansive, including taxes, high-speed rail, socialized medicine, that one, it has not yet expanded into the realm of wildlife. Now it has. While all three species of manatees are listed by the World Conservation Organization as vulnerable to extinction, the Citrus County Tea Party Patriots have declared the mammal dangerous. The Florida Tea Baggers have recently announced their plan to fight U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service restrictions on boating and other human activities. Edna Matos is 63 years old. She's the leader of Citrus County Tea Party Patriots, and she gave an interview. And she says, We cannot elevate nature above people. That's against the Bible and the Bill of Rights. Really. You see, there's a wildlife refuge called Kings Bay in Citrus County, Florida. Going back to 1980, it came under federal protection. By 1980, there were just about 100 manatees still alive there. It's taken 31 years, but the manatee population is now thriving at Kings Bay. There are 550 of them. But, you know, the business of America is business. And down that way, business means building more condos, right? Development, development, development. More tourists, more tourists, more tourists. And as a consequence, between May and August 30th of 2010, 7 manatees were killed by speeding boats. That in turn caused the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to restrict boat use in Kings Bay and to require boaters to reduce their speeds. Again, from the article about these teabaggers from a website called Click Rally. Although Tea Partier Matos said she brings her grandchildren to see the manatees, she doesn't see a point in the Save the Manatee Club.
If some of these environmental movements had been around in the days of dinosaurs, we'd be living in Jurassic Park now. Harumph! Ow! Malumbago! Somebody get me a poultice. Mustard plaster or something.
As the author of this particular blog post puts it, Rick Chandler over at NBC Sports is off the bench. One is a fat, dull-witted, ponderous herd of creatures, and the other is the manatees. Teabaggers can't even tolerate... I mean, my God, you've seen a manatee, right? They're like teddy bears that live underwater. They're the most gentle of creatures. And the one thing that kills them more and quicker than anything else is boaters who go ripping through their habitat, and the props of whose motors chew them to pieces, and they're utterly defenseless against it. And and they can't be tolerated by the teabaggers.
Citrus County, Florida, Republic, Missouri.
You know, we need the power to at least put warning signs at county lines and city limits. Warning, teabaggers present. Your IQ may be negatively affected. We need like a teabag, with all due respect and no joke intended, we need like a teabag Geiger counter. So that you can just, something that can detect the rays of stupid that come off of these freaks.
Barack Obama's a socialist. Ding, 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 ding.
Jesus. Manatees. Is there anything that baggers don't despise? God almighty. I mean, the stupid, it hurts. A query coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Hey, Bob. How many times a day do you find yourself sighing, slapping your forehead, and saying, "Dear Lord," after hearing some of this stupid crap? Well, here's a hint, Ron. I've actually got a palm print on my head. I think it's permanent. I go around making that Charlie Brown after missing the football noise. Ah! It's like the decal on the car that Agnes took a picture of and sent me. With the skull wearing the miner's helmet with the lamp on it and the crossed pick and shovels, and it says, "Coal, the real black power." Trouble is, when you see those in traffic, that can be the... Oh! That can be dangerous. Kathy in Arizona, noting with regard to Reverbo's mentioning of Vonnegut's birth on Armistice Day. Kathy noting, the U.S. has several days celebrating war. 4th of July, Veterans Day, Armed Forces Day, and Memorial Day. It is sad that Armistice Day, which celebrated the end of a war, has been changed into Veterans Day to celebrate fighters. The 4th was supposed to celebrate independence as Independence Day, but they're just political speeches and parades of marching soldiers. And of course, and thank you, Kathy, it's worth noting that the militarization of one's own culture and history is one of those central, seminal, flashing beacons on the road to fascism. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen the YouTube video or some other manifestation of Malloy reading the 14 defining characteristics of fascism. Well, that's one of them. Rampant militarism. Yeah, I'm not kidding. When Ferg and I went to a minor league ball game on the night of the 4th of July down in Bluefield, West Virginia, you know, we were down there for the Prism series. We stayed for the fireworks afterward. Stunning comeback victory by the Princeton Rays. We stayed for the fireworks after, and they just looped Lee Greenwood. They played it like 5 times. Lee Greenwood's "God Bless the USA." They had great fireworks, but, I mean, come on. Stars and Stripes Forever, little John Philip Sousa, really? Five, back to back? "God Bless the USA" by National Council for the Humanities or Arts or whatever member Lee Greenwood? Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, dim leader appointed into the National Council for the Arts or some such. Because, you know, that Lee Greenwood, he's an artiste.
Sure you bet. No, the stupid hurts. And, you know, I just, I gotta reserve a little chunk of my brain to remember in case of passing through Citrus County, Missouri, or Citrus County, Florida, or Republic, Missouri. It gets confusing because there's a place in Missouri called Florida, Missouri. You understand? I gotta have a couple of brain cells handy just to remember, you know, oh, Jesus, this is that place. And, you know, I don't mean for Friday on the Front Porch to actually be sort of a bookending of Moran Monday. But dang. I mean, just holy cow. You know that Fox has been on an absolute tirade, right? I played you, I guess, Monday, Tuesday? The audio of that goofy, hateful woman, Sandy Rios, who, upon hearing that birth control would be covered now by direction of the Obama administration.
Well, what's next, manis and petties?
Well, apparently there's a new cause celeb, you know, because August can get kind of dull. So, you know, never wanting to miss a good culture war story, Sean Hannity, the Hannity job, the life support system for a haircut, brought on the same woman who debated opposite Sandy Rios, namely Ms. Jamu Green, who is identified as a Fox News contributor. She is the former president of, can't remember the, it has to do with reproductive rights. This is only 47 seconds of stupid. Maybe we can live through it.
Why should they require it by law? Why can't, if people want to engage in activity, at what point do we say people have got to be responsible for their own behavior?
Well, look, a panel of scientists, medical professionals, smarter than us, they made this recommendation.
I don't care about the scientists. My camera. What? Huh?
But again, this is about women's health. If you care about women's health,
it's not about women's health. It's about birth control. This is about women's birth control. Stop expecting other people to be responsible for every minute aspect of your life in this nanny state that you want to create.
But why should we pay for a man's Viagra?
Because that actually is a medical...
Before the Affordable Care Act, plans wouldn't cover birth control.
That is a medical problem versus a choice to have sex.
Yeah, Hannity gonna get it. Yeah, don't be going after Hannity's Viagra. Because he'll get some nasty phone calls from Rush Limbaugh. My friend Sean, did you hear that black woman go after my Viagra? How am I supposed to have my all-boy weekend little male prostitute get-togethers in the Dominican Republic if I don't have my Viagra? It's enough of a problem that I have to get it written in someone else's name, my friend. Can't get a stiffy? That's a medical problem. That's a real disease. You have no idea how it hurts when I get those cold, sidelong glances from my wife, and I just know, and sometimes she holds up the little finger like that just to remind me that. What did Mike Cooley write in that great Trucker song, Gravity's Gone? Cocaine rich comes quick, and that's why the small dicks have it all. That one's for you, Sean. I mean, we're talking about a choice whether to have sex. You think Sean's ever actually... I mean... Do the lights have to be off? Does Sean Hannity have any understanding whatsoever
of female physiology? Does he understand that the birth control pills actually do things other than contracept? That they're sold, you know, advertised on television as being helpful in reducing acne outbreaks in women, especially young women. That they can provide palliative care for things like endometriosis and polycystic ovarian disease. Now, why would that? Well, that's not a real disease. That just means she has some bad periods, and I try not to get around them when they're like that anyway. But when my tiny todger won't get up and stand to attention, that's a disease, and I gotta have a pill for it, and insurance better cover it. And, but it's not, understand, it's not just Sean Hannity. Oh, Jeebus, no. No, because it's, well, what would it be like? I mean, can you imagine a world where a story like this comes along and that babbling old, Dr. Lufa, I want you to get a glass of wine and go in the shower. And I want to come in and I want to rub you down with falafel. Bill O'Reilly. What would the world be if he... Now, and this is precious. This was allegedly an interview with Dennis Kucinich. You'd never know it, because Kucinich only gets to make little grunting noises as he tries to speak. But, you know, this is another one of those precious moments from Fox.
The government is ordering the health insurance companies to pay for all breastfeeding stuff, all female birth control stuff, all preventative measures for doctors for ladies that go in. And what do you think that's good?
What the hell kind of language is that? This guy is so uncomfortable with his own sexuality that he has to use the ubiquitous term stuff. He can't say breast pump. Now, the federal government is ordering the health insurance companies to pay for all breastfeeding stuff. That's a scientific term, breastfeeding stuff. New from Gerber's, breastfeeding stuff. Because, you know, the 90-year-old demographic of Fox News would probably have the vapors if he said, nipple! Or breast pump. Marveline, are you all right? Now, the federal government is ordering the health insurance companies to pay for all breastfeeding stuff, all female birth control stuff. Birth control stuff? All preventative measures for doctors for ladies that go in. Ladies. Because they're wearing hoop skirts. Preventative measures for doctors for ladies that go in. I don't think my sainted grandmother could diagram that. That's word salad. What do you think that's going to do? That's going to inhibit hiring even more. What? I think, Bill, I think your acid kicked in, buddy. Hiring? Really? Really? Providing birth control is going to inhibit, it's going to create high unemployment? Ah, the audio's not real good, but let's have another run at this.
To do. That's going to inhibit hiring even more.
We ought to be very concerned about women's health care.
But you're not going to expand and hire if they have to pay the higher health care premiums for workers.
Who's they? Are we now relying on uteruses to solve the unemployment problem? I'm concerned that they're not going to expand and hire if they have to pay higher health care premiums for workers.
Businesses aren't going to do it. You can't have both. You can't have a welfare state and a robust capitalist system. It's the uteruses, I tell you.
Ow. Andy, with a note. Andy out in Redwood City, California. Writings, Mr. Bob, Texas. High school graduation, 43rd out of 50 states. 5th out of 50 states in childhood poverty. And number one of all states with percentage of children without health care. Only 78% of Texas children are in excellent or very good health, far below the national average. My addition, number one in air and water pollution among the 50 states. Lest I forget, one of the largest state deficits at $27 billion. Texas miracle BS. This is third world. And in addition to that information, I read in yesterday's Financial Times, August 4th, 2011, article, Republicans have eyes for Perry's success story in Texas, it says. It says his cuts to school funding have left Texas as 50th out of 50 states in spending ahead on, per head on education. So are you sure Missouri's the dumbest state, Bob? Oh, I didn't say Missouri was the dumbest state. I just said it resembled it. I didn't, when I went to, it reminded me of Alabama. Funny accents. Without $17 billion in federal stimulus money, Texas would have been even more in the tank. Mr. Perry planned to eliminate 9,300 state government jobs in January 2011 while presiding over a $27 billion state deficit. Texas miracle? Sounds more like Texas nightmare. Thanks, Andy. I got more. There's enough to keep us going for four or five Fridays on the front porch. But we'll take a break and come back for your phone calls. This is Friday on the Front Porch. This is the Horn. By the way, we are halfway. We're halfway to tonight's fundraising goal, $60. Just three more, and I can shut up for the night. Just three more contributors of $10 apiece, and well, you've basically given me a reason to be to hush up. So we'll take a break and come back. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. Couple of lines open. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob.
Judge or a bribe or a thug or a bomb or a shredding machine. You can buy your way through into and onto any ticket or TV screen. It's a money disease. It's a thing called greed. And it feeds on those who need the money most in money land. Oh, ain't you funny if you got the money in money land. Now, corporate crime, you just do a little time, pay a little fine, and then you're because the snobbery doesn't mean a thing, it just falls on deaf ears. Money is a thing we all sweat for, it's what some dreams are made of. But then there's those who want it all, and enough is never enough. It's a money disease, it's a thing called greed. And it feeds on those who need the money most in money land. Oh, it's so funny if you ain't got the money in money land. Money. the clans. What'll it get me? How much? What's mine? Are the only questions anybody seems to ask. Now who got beat, got fought, got bled, and who got burned today? Who got fixed, got fooled, got framed, and who got in the way? Somebody diseased. It's a thing called greed. And it feeds on those who need the money most in Moneyland. Oh, it ain't so funny if you got the money in Moneyland.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And don't forget about that body stuff.
www.doublegenius.com.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
You want to know how bad it is? Well, we're going right to the phones. And by the way, for those asking, the previous track was the Del McCurry Band. The title track from their compilation, because you can't say album anymore, the title track from their compilation of the same name, Moneyland. If you've never sat down and just listened to Del McCurry Band, you're missing something. And that one just, well, says it all, doesn't it? Sometimes I still have my DJ moments. Apparently, there is a move afoot inside the chat room. Nice little group in there tonight. Cossack's there. Ed Encho's there. Jug of Punch and Sentient Being are in. There's a move afoot in the chat room to send Bob a what? to send Bob a blue Viagra coffee mug. And can we get it? Yeah, and then later on, can we get it? Can we get it autographed by Rush Hudson Limbaugh the third? What? You guys. But no, if you want to know how bad it is, just dig this. The teabaggers have gotten so godforsaken crazy with their, with their everything, and including their Sharia law, the fascination, that they've even managed to get under the skin of, huh? What? Yeah, Chris Christie. Chris Christie is pissed at the neo-maxi Zoom dweebies. Because, you know, Chris Christie appointed a Muslim judge to the New Jersey bench. And the teabaggers and the wingnuts are having a hopping up and down, flapping fit. A Muslim, he's gonna rule Sharia law on all of New Jersey. Oh my God, Jesus help me. Really?
Sharia law has nothing to do with this at all. It's crazy. It's crazy that guy's an American citizen who has been an admitted lawyer to practice in the state of New Jersey, swearing an oath to uphold the laws of New Jersey, the Constitution of the state of New Jersey, and the Constitution of the United States of America, and has never been accused of doing anything but honorably and zealously acquitting the oath he took when he became a lawyer to license to practice in this state. And so this Sharia law business is crap. It's just crazy. And I'm tired of dealing with the crazies. I mean, you know, it's just unnecessary to be accusing this guy of things just because of his religious background. And that's what it's because.
Yeah, well, Governor, you helped give birth to the teabaggers. You got on the tiger. Now you just got to hang on to the ear and the tail and hope for the best. Don't piss them off too much, Governor, because they'll think you're not a good teabagger anymore. But that's how crazy that's how bad it's gotten with these loons when they've actually got another one of their own loons at a point of slobbering frustration. Did you hear that? This Sharia law business is crap. That ain't gonna play too well to his base. And then this, I'm tired of dealing with the crazies. Well, are you? Are you, Governor?
Are you, Governor?
That's too damn bad, because they're your boss. Dig it. They're your boss. They're the reason you're in office. And yes, they are crazy. But you empowered them. You made them that way. They are made in your image, Chris Christie. Own them. You can't have them when you want them and then run them off when they start, when their brand of crazy conflicts with yours. They didn't just get this way. They are this way. And they're all yours, Chris. Ron and Raleigh noting, Bob, somebody tell fat bastard if you lay down with teabagging dogs, you get up with fleas the size of cats. Homage to David Bowie. Yeah, and they're biting at his ankles, Ron. Ooh-wee. Well, let's get to the phones right away. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob. How are we this fine week?
Brother Albert, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Brother Bob. Goodness gracious. Yeah, you know, that little rant, though, you played, you know, at least it did, it got a standing ovation from Mr. Lawrence O'Donnell, which I thought was actually kind of humorous. He pretty much, about time they start to, I think that just goes to show you that, you know, they realize, like, some guys like him are smart enough, you know, unlike our Wisconsin governor. You know, they're a little bit smart enough to realize that there is that craziness and there is that, you know, they'll use them, you know, they'll abuse them, but, you know, they're just a cheap dart night, you know, fling. They're not the meat and potatoes of what's going to keep these guys around because, you know, let's face it, the Tea Party's, you know, it's running its end of the usefulness, isn't it?
Well, till next year.
Yeah, true. I mean, you know, but what are you going to do about that? They're going to get smashed. It's just how it's going to be. There's no way. There's just no way. These people, every time they turn around, they get smashed, and you know, they sound crazy and they make a lot of noise, but I don't really see it, Bob. I'm not feeling it.
Well, I think we'll know a little bit more come Tuesday, won't we, Albert?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. I actually had an opportunity. to have one of them freaks knock on my door.
Oh, that poor soul.
Well, I really didn't want to. I don't know. You know, there's something about the way that they come and ask you. You know, so I got a thing, and I looked out. Gonzo's freaking out. I got the knock on the door. He's freaking out. I go, and I look out the window. I'm like, and I see these Kapanky stickers on a little clipboard. I'm like, great. So I opened the door. I should have just let them, but they saw me at the window, and, you know, so whatever. I opened it, and they're like, hey, you know, can Dan Kapanky, you know, get your vote? And I'm like, no. They gave me a look like that. Then they started, like, me, well, are you a liberal, conservative? You know, they started asking me for identifying. I don't have to give them goddamn Republicans goddamn single nothing.
No, sir, you don't.
No, I didn't give them any information. Screw them. Let them think, oh, he's not going to vote. You know, that's how I figured it. They were just trying to get some sort of, you know, tally. And then
well, did they tell you that the election was August the 11th?
I should have. Yeah, I'm a liberal communist. I should have told them, and we would have seen what they would have said then. Oh, well, you know, you had a vote on the 9th or the 10th.
Or the 12th. So just vote sometime in August.
Yeah, you know, next year. Don't forget. Yeah, I think they're going to get smashed. I mean, as we all know, you know, I don't know who, you know, maybe people haven't been paying attention, but every single Repig-looking Nerf ball that they tried to throw up to run as a Democrat got absolutely smashed. And one of the biggest smashings was here in Vernon County. You know, we have a lot of farmers, as you saw in this county.
Right.
A lot of farmers in this county. And, you know, Kapanky, you know, he does. He fights for the subsidies and all these other things. And that's how the Republicans get their hooks in over here. Is, you know, like they keep the, you know, they want to see the corn subsidies and that subsidy and soybeans and this and that, you know. And farmers like those subsidies. Astounding to me. Because what's more socialist than that? We're going to pay you.
Well, it's not socialism if you're getting it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. That is true, isn't it, Brother Bob? My goodness. My goodness. How's Ferg, by the way? How did he work out with that? What happened?
He's back up and running. He seems to be fully recovered, but you know, bruised, little, you know, real sore for a couple of days. A little bit of better living through chemistry to get him through that.
Yikes! You really get him some 100-pound lead weight vest to keep him just slow. It'll make him stronger when he gets older, but you know, but just keep him on the ground for a little bit.
Well, you know, I learned and I was reminded in that situation that there is a limit to the value of fear as the mind killer. No, sometimes fear is the universe's way of telling you don't.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, fear is an emotion. You just got to keep it in check. Not to just throw it out the window.
Yeah, son, it says fear is the mind killer, not fear is the tree climber.
Yikes. Well, that's a son, though, huh?
Yeah, you know, maybe someday for you. But then again, I remember your words upon parting. You know, I used to think I wanted a boy.
I love Ferg. He's a great boy, but I don't know if my heart could take it. Oh, he's in a tree. Oh, he's climbing off a cliff. Yeah, you keep a hang glider out of his hands. Do yourself a favor. Oikes.
Albert,
anyway.
Brother Albert, I live in a place where they market the climbing of rocks. I mean, when he was on the ground, it was like, boy, I can't wait till you get well, because I'm going to do that whole Kathy Bates thing with your ankles. It'll slow you down.
I just saw that. Oh, yeah, Bill Maher with his little, when their pig lickings were playing, what was that, Hometown or whatever that, he put a new clip in there, you know, we're going to hurt you. Whatever that movie was, I don't have a mind for details of that kind of stuff. But I saw that Kathy Bates thing. Yeah, that is a look away from the screen.
Oh, it's just awful.
but a lot of those Republicans do the same thing to me. I hear Mitch McConnell, that turtle. I gotta clip it. I gotta get out of there because that guy's just. And I don't know. I don't know what you know. We've got the job unemployment numbers. What are they? 9.1?
Yeah, it dropped like a fraction.
Well, yeah, I mean, granted, that never looks good, but, you know, I'm telling you, I've been saying it for years, you know, we've been talking about it for years, this is the time, we need to work, we need to, you know, just like in, just like back in the 30s.
Yeah, WPA, CCC.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, this government has become so dysfunctional, Albert, that's impossible now.
I know.
They can't. There's no way. There's no one would let them have the money to do it. You know, and I mean, just by way of example, that sick freak, Eric Cantor.
Oh God. Big shiny balls. Is that what he was talking about the other day?
Hey, leave Britney alone. No, Eric Cantor has said. This is their reality, and the thing is, the just drives me batshit crazy, is that there are people who are hurting who will go, you know what, I think he's right, Marvelline. He said, he was talking with Jim Cramer on CNBC, and Jim, the most important thing we can do for somebody who's unemployed is to see if we can get them a job. I mean, that's what needs to be the focus. For too long in Washington now, we've been worried about pumping up the stimulus monies and pumping up unemployment benefits, and to a certain extent, you have states for which you can get unemployment for almost 2 years, and I think those people on unemployment benefits would rather have a job.
Hey, hang on a second. I'll just play devil's advocate for a second. He's right. I think he's right. But where were they? Where were they to come out and say, you know, they're the ones that always, you know, they're the hindsight. You know, they're the hindsight.
Yeah, where's the jobs bill?
Where's the job? Where? I mean, you know, like, they're the ones that said that they were going to do the job. Where are they? I mean, nobody wanted to do unemployment. But the fact of the matter is if you're not going to allow a WPA, and if you're not going to allow, you know, some sort of, you know, like, you know, really extend that AMP project with the solar panels on every roof. I mean, I know I'm a broken record about it. I just don't care until I start seeing solar panels on every roof. I'm going to be a freaking broken record about it because there's no reason to not do it.
Yeah, right. You know? No, but testify.
I mean, come on now. I mean, you know, we sit here and we look at, you know, it makes me laugh. My brother, who's a jackass, as we all know, and, you know, personally wise, the kid decided he wasn't going to finish high school because he didn't want to do, you know, an extra half credit of summer school, something stupid like that. You know, he's a smart kid, but he's also a dummy. Well, he sits there and he does roofing, and that kid's getting paid $19 an hour. And if it's a union, you know, a union source state job, you know, because the state jobs, you know, they have to sit there and they pay them more. It's like $35 an hour. That's outstanding money, especially for the region that I live in. So,
and especially, you know, for a kid who didn't finish high school. I mean, it's okay. We can say that.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, heck, I'd take 15, I'd take 10 to be putting solar panels up on people's roofs. I think that would be fair because it would make me go, yeah, all right, I only got $10 an hour, but man, I could sleep at night. I could feel good about it, and I get up in the morning.
Yeah, that'd feel like missionary work.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. We'd be securing the future. You know, but it's You know, they can talk all they want about, you know, job this, job that, but they sit there and they fight tooth and nail, and they don't even want to get rid of Bush tax cuts and everything else that hasn't provided jobs. That's the other thing. It's not even that's just the past 2 years, you know, and then we had the 2 years of the Democrats, but then the 2 years and now we're Republicans. You know, they had 8 years. The Bush tax cuts are old. They've been around for way too long. And it makes me laugh because, you know, people talk about, oh, the stimulus failed. It's failed the whole time.
It's like that Jackacid Society member Joe Scarborough saying, "Well, what happened to that $900 billion?" And having what's his name, Chuck Todd with the little goatee, having to explain to him, "Well, Joe, you godforsaken moron, $400 billion of that wasn't really stimulus. That was just tax cuts." And I mean, do these poor goddamn dumb little teabaggers even understand anymore, Albert? I mean, do they know what they're saying when it's coming out of their mouths? But, oh, the stimulus didn't work. Well,
yeah.
Bagger, the stimulus had $400 billion of tax cuts in it. Are you saying tax cuts don't create jobs? Is that what you're admitting now, Bagger?
Yeah, pretty much. They'd have to. I mean, they have to admit that. There's no other way around it. Of course it doesn't create jobs. Where are they? They're not around. They don't create jobs. You know, you sit there, you think, you know, like, I'll tell you what. You know, Matt Damon in the early week, you know, he came out. You know,
oh, cleaning the clock of that right winger over teachers.
And then he did it again a little later on. They released another excerpt from a different interview of that. And he's just he's a brilliant guy. And he sat there and he said straight out, he's like, I don't know a single person. And you know, we can go off and say, granted, he probably knows a lot of liberals. But he also knows a lot of millionaires. He probably knows more millionaires than you and I do. So. And he hangs out with them, and he says, I don't know a single one of them that started a business or created a job with their tax cuts. And, you know, their tax break that they get versus what we get is more than you and I and probably a few other horn listeners in a bowl make in a year is their just tax break.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So these people make exorbitant amounts of money that just giving them more money is acting like that. I don't even understand what you think you're doing with that. Why do they need that much money? How many pizza businesses or this or that? How many businesses can one person do? You know, that's the other thing. If these people are already making that kind of money, that where they're in that sector of getting tax cuts like that, you know, and they're in the top 2%, how many things can they do? I mean, there's only so many hours in a day, and they've already got to this point by apparently filling those hours in the day making money. So what are they going to do? What else can they do? How many other jobs and factories and things can they manage? You know, you're a billionaire, a $100 millionaire. I mean, come on now. There's only so many hours in a day. And the other thing I don't understand, you know, I'll pay, this house can pay more taxes. Anyone else can. I mean, granted, the tax rebate check at the end of the, end of the year, whatever, in April, whatever, or before then, it's nice to get, but you really shouldn't count on it. And if it was $1,000 less and that made the country more be on more stable fiscal ground, wouldn't you do it?
Well, it's like David in Tennessee said a few days ago. He said, you know, we're talking about asking people who make $1 million a year to get by on $930,000. God almighty, Albert.
I know. I mean, and $1 million is, you know, honestly, you know, when I did, you know, when I worked out on Wall Street, man, there were guys that made $3 million a month. A month. You don't need that. I mean, come on. Come on, I'm not trying to say you're going to have...
No, what do you do with it? But, I mean, some of it, I guess you just buy gold now and put it in the bank and go and admire it once in a while. You know, and that's why I'll never be wealthy, because I'm not crazy about money, I'm crazy about the stuff that it gets.
Yeah. Oh, I just...
You know, like roofs and tires.
Yeah, like food.
You know, frivolous shit.
Yeah, air conditioning. It's, you know, I hear you. I absolutely hear you. And so the other thing, it's like, if anything, you know, they should be paying more taxes. You know, that's what Matt Damon said, you know. He's like, they should pay to make it, you know, like, to pay to be the privilege of being an American. To be, you know, to have some pride in being an American. To actually make something that goes, wow, we're American. You know, America number one in renewable energies. America number one in, you know, next generation nanotechnologies. America number one in high speed rails. You know, America number one in green space. America's
and yet, and yet, right, and
life.
Yet, what do we get from Flush Flimball, Albert? You're going to love this.
Obama's coming to take the farm.
Yeah, the debt deal is slavery, and Obama's taking white people's farms.
Like in Kenya.
Yeah, because, right, yeah, he's just Robert Mugabe with the better suit.
Disgusting. Disgusting. But see, that's what I mean, like... You know, it's actually, I heard it, somebody sitting there trying to justify that. They're trying to justify that, Bob. Oh, you don't understand what Russia's trying to say.
Yeah, I do.
What do you mean? It was right there in black and white.
Right, you know, I mean, you just run that up side by side with the fact that Pat Buchanan's got him a new book out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Oh, this is precious. Pat Buchanan's got him a book out, and it's got a chapter in it, no really, called The End of White America. Meanwhile, you got Donald Trump, Trump and his that muskrat on his head. He's decided he's going to oppose an offshore wind farm in Scotland. Because he says it will interfere with his planned golf course. It will create, here it is, viewscape pollution.
Bob, are you trying to make me throw up?
Didn't do me much good either, Brother Albert.
I thought it was even going to... I mean, you know, they always complain about the view...
No, you know what it is? Them Scottish winds is hell enough on a golfer.
Yeah, that's...
But when you add in them windmills are making the wind even fiercer, by God, a man with a mashy niblick in his hand doesn't stand a chance.
You know, I don't know. That argument, I don't care what anyone says. It doesn't fly. I don't care, because you hear that. You hear that from the people that got to live near them. You know, they're complaining that it's an eyesore. But a smokestack isn't.
Oh, no, that's a lovely smokestack.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. You can go out every morning and see how much more paint it's eating off the hood of your car.
Mm.
I mean, it's like science.
Yeah, it is. Exactly like science. They talk about, you know, I'm imagining it's offshore, so he'd probably be able to see maybe a little bit of white on the horizon. I think that would be better to look at than, you know, some septic ocean, because it's all dead. You know, are you going to play golf in your moon suit, because there's no environment left? Is that what you're going to do? This guy, who the hell do you think you are? This is what I mean. This is why when I say, put a cap on this crap, because there's too much money. How much money is that? That you're going to sit there and in another country fight the people's ability to have renewable energy? How are you going to sit there? I mean, that's too much money. That's too much money, Bob. Nobody should have that kind of money. You just shouldn't. It's not even right. It's like the wrong focus. You should focus on, like, all right, Donald, you got a bunch of money, you got a bunch of hotels, I'm glad you're happy, da-da-da-da-da. Now go on vacation. Go to some island, bud. Get out of here. Go. Go enjoy and live your life. Nobody cares about, you know, like, can you imagine what he would look
like? But, you know, the Scots are actually serious about, you know, increasing the renewable portion of their energy, national energy portfolio.
Sure.
Really? The
Scots? Who does he think he is?
Who does he think he is? Are the Scots going to lay down and say, ugh, well, they could be right?
Sure hope not. Where's the oil coming from? That's the other thing. You know, the North Sea up there, up by Scotland, you know, that's what they did for a number of years. They sat there and they were pumping gas and natural oil out of the North Sea. And that's going away. It's going away. It's being used up. You know,
well, you see, but the thing with Trump is he understands you can't. Golf is a game where you don't have to have lights on the course. You just play in the daytime, so screw electricity. What an idiot.
Oh, he's a maniac, that guy. I don't understand. That's audacity. That's such... How dare you? Go live there. Go pay taxes over there, you little bastard. How about you go do that? You pay taxes over there. Go. How'd you like that? right? It would go to your national health care. It would have to go to free schools and everything else. You know, I tell you, I don't know. And I don't know what to think about this deal. I really don't. There's part of me that goes, oh, okay, there's triggers. And those triggers can, you know, but will those triggers ever be pulled? And, you know, I definitely don't like this super Congress idea unless we really get some decent progressives on it. You know, guys that we know.
Yeah, here's the hint. Dennis and Bernie ain't going to be on it.
Yeah, that's a shame right there. You know, I don't know. I don't know, bud. I mean, it's like we're paying attention to just stupid people, and we scream and scream and scream, but we're in a, you know, like a soundproof, they're in a soundproof box. They can't hear us.
Yeah, and good luck getting coverage for the actual good ideas.
Yeah.
Again, it's impossible to ignore the rhinoceros in the room. The for-profit media are you know, directly responsible, and no, not responsible, never use that word in the same sentence as for-profit media, culpable in the propulsion of this idiocy. I like money.
And that's the other thing. It's like, where do you think we're going? I don't understand. Like, what does it take to get everybody on board? Is that impossible? Is that just an impossibility?
Attorney Frito Pendejo, lawyer for Mr. Trump, said.
Oh, God. Ugh. That's what I mean, bud. I mean, it's like we just need our perceptions realigned or something. I think a lot of common working people outside of, you know, these middle classers, like, you know, this is what makes me laugh. My in-laws, you know, I went over there, and I, you know, everyone knows how religious these people are. But I went over there, and, you know, just to spend family time. And I look on, you know, I can't help it. I'm not nosy. I'm just observant. And I saw there was an envelope on the kitchen counter. And I looked at it, you know, just looked at it, because I look at it. I saw words, so I read them, and I can't help it. I see words, I read them, and especially when it's tea party. Oh, I was like, I know you guys are conservatives. I know you guys are, oh, my God. Well, you know, like, it was funny, too, because my father-in-law had a handwritten sign duct taped to the back of his truck. And it just brought...
Handwritten, like Jethro Bodine style, handwritten?
Handwritten, real, yeah, handwritten, like making no sense, no punctuation, everything in, like, not fucking capitalized. It was almost like being on the internet.
E.E. Cummings for teabag pickup trucks.
Oh, something about, yeah, like something on a play on shilling, because shilling, you know, I was like, I didn't know we were in England. What's a shilling worth or something absurd like that?
Yeah, Jesus.
You know, like, oh, okay. You know, over in England, a shilling. Oh, you know, okay, I got it. Is that all you got? Anyway, the thing is that makes me laugh, though, you know, really the only reason they're conservative like that is because they're religious. But because, like, economically, it makes no sense for them. He was a plumber. That's, I mean, that's like, it's like, you know, one of the lug nuts of working class right there, and she's a nurse. You know, so... It just, you know, and he's sitting there talking about how his insurance company is getting the shaft, and these corporations are sitting there because he got a hip replacement, and they're sitting there dealing with this and dealing with that, and he's got a handwritten sign of that inanity on the back of his thing during a recall election, and it made me think when I was 5 years old, I'll never forget this, so that was, think about it, 5 years old, I'm 33, there was a guy with a handwritten sign taped to the back of his pickup truck, I was 5 years old, and it said, Bomb Libya on it. Remember that? Remember those days?
Oh, well, I thought you were gonna go to the real old classic. Get us out of the UN.
Oh well, yeah, I've never seen that bumper sticker. Just never handwritten. Maybe, I don't know. But you know when you're handwriting something, you've lost. you know it's true. But you know, and it's like
ding.
Yeah, and you know, like the other thing is for these guys, you know, nothing. And you and I can and should criticize Obama. And they can criticize, and there's probably some things they should criticize him on. I give him that. But they give him no credit whatsoever. Ever. For nothing. Ever. Did you hear, who was that one? Oh, yeah, Sean Hannity. Did you hear him freaking out with Juan Williams? This is last week or early this week, talking about, like, I for a second, I thought he was talking about George Bush, and he had snapped. Because I don't understand, like, that's a disconnect. There's such a level of disconnect with my in-laws and Sean Hannity's and the Rush Limbaugh's. And Sean is a true believer. He may make money on it, but he definitely is a true believer. That guy is a goring. He'll go to the whatever for you. He's one of them guys. But the people that I got to sit there and listen, these common folk, I just can never see it. You know, I just can't see. Why would you even bother? Like, that's the thing. I was looking at that lady. She was like, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And I was like, I ain't telling you shit. But at the same time, I'm like looking at her like, lady, I don't see you. Are you on pedals, rose pedals? And, you know, is your bag $30,000? I'm not a billionaire. Are you a billionaire? What do you mean? How dare you ask me if I'm a Republican? Look at my house. Look at my car. This is not a billionaire estate. Why would I be a Republican? That's what I understand. What's you ridiculously, absurdly inane to think that you could vote for Republicans? They're only going to do what? It just wipes my mind, Bob. It just staggers me. It's unbelievable.
It's breathtaking. It truly is. I mean, you know, well, lady, you're going to ask me. Why don't I ask you? What are you?
Yeah. Why? And, well, you know, I didn't have a clipboard, so I couldn't write anything down and have an official reason to ask her. But...
Or, you know, just while we're asking, are you a Jehovah's Witness?
I get them all the time.
Well, that's because they understand that the key to making the whole thing work is converting you.
Oy. Yeah, good luck on that one. Good luck on that one, brother.
I tell you what, Albert, it's good to hear from you, brother. Have yourself a good weekend.
You too, buddy.
And you know what? Agnes needs an email address for your lovely spouse.
Oh, all right.
I said, have you heard anything? No, I don't have her address. So, yeah, just send it along, and I'll pass it over to Agnes. Because, you know, that little conversation started, and, you know, shoot.
Yeah.
Like you said, I thought it was going to be old home week with you and me. Those two had never even heard of each other, and boom, sisters.
Did she write? She was writing letters. I don't know what she's... I think she... Maybe snail mail or something? I don't know. I'll talk to her, though. We'll get to her. I'll get it to you. No problem.
All right. Albert, you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Right, bye now. The sage of Southwest Wisconsin. That's Brother Albert. And we move on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Now, you know what fire's for, don't you? Burning and vaping. And I'll tell you something by now. We're going to put that Kurt Volkswagen right in the fire.
Right in the fire with the Kurt Volkswagen.
Sorcery with the Kurt Volkswagen, and we ain't going to have none of that socialist communist stuff in there.
About not killing and loving your enemy.
You know, the reason why they call the library, because the first letters are L-I-B. Now, I don't need to explain the rest to you.
But it ain't no coincidence that liberal and library begin the same way.
And they all lie. That's what we need to do. We need to put it in the fire. Because we are not with this sorcery. They keep on bringing up with that Harry Potter. And they keep on bringing up with all this witchcraft that's going on.
And the vampires.
And that is exactly what is happening in this country. And to what Albert is saying about the Tea Party, I will say to you that there's a reason why the Tea Party is going to expand. And here's the reason why, Albert. The reason why is because they're going to cheat. Now, let me say that again. The reason why is because they are going to cheat. And they're going to cheat on levels you could never comprehend. Because this country, ladies and gentlemen, is a country where if you are Republican, you are writing, you are rewarded for failing upwards. And the reason why Chris Christie is acting like an ass, now pay attention, because this is important. The reason why he's acting like an ass, because he has presidential ambitions. And
there.
He'll either run in 2012 or 2016. I'm guessing he's going to run in 2016 because he wants to be part of the new America. Wear the tri-corner hat and be as fat as he wants to be.
Send bacon.
And right, that's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. And if you look at the books, here's the other thing. This is the other thing that nobody's talking to. You look at the books on the right wing, and the books on the right wing that are They're all in this doom and gloom about the end of this, end of that. I mean, Mark Stein just put out a book, the OTAG, on Uncle Sam. And the reason why they're doing that is because they know if they crash this country down, they can profit like you never imagined ever before. And that's what's happening. What Naomi Klein was predicting about disaster capitalists, but they're going to be. But they, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be the kings of the new America. Because what happens when you have right wingers on TV and on radio and on in press and media, and they just lie and cheat exponentially? That's right, they're rewarded, and this is the problem with progressives, liberals, Democrats. I really don't give a shit what you are. Don't understand. Every time they lie and they cheat and they don't admit to it, there's no consequences for them. What was the consequence? Oh, wait a minute. Is Fox still on the air? Yes, it is. And I'll tell you another thing. I'll put on the Stars, Stripes, and Robes psychic warlock outfit you want me to put on right now. I'm telling you right now that Fox is going to expand. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Fox is going to have an extreme show, extreme channel. What do you bet that's going to happen? What do you bet that Fox is going to have an extreme channel on the cable network? Now you have to comprehend. Well,
oh, Jesus.
Extreme.
Oh, I hate it when you just let all this stuff unfold out in front of it. Oh, that's disturbing.
And here's the other thing. And here's the other thing nobody's paying attention to. You're not paying attention to the remodeling of Hollywood. When I was telling you about Joel Surnow 2 years ago and how he was the producer for 24 and how conservatives have a plan to remodel Hollywood, Brad Thor just got a deal for a 3-motion picture deal with Universal Studios. And Brad Thor is like this patriotic right-wing conservative, so they're bringing in the people. They're bringing in how they want to reshape it, because they know there's a place. There's a vacuum right now. And since people have a lot of money, they're going to put out that propaganda 9 to 5, even past 9 to 5. You look at what's happening right now, and this is what I keep saying. You look at what's happening right now. And here's the other thing. I was listening to Cliff Schechter now and Sam Cedar, and they were talking about how it's probably not a good idea. They were kind of like going back and forth on it, a little bit wobbly, but they said it's probably not a good idea to have a Democratic president in 2012. And then they explained why, and it really did start to make more sense than a lot of people would definitely go with. But the thing is this, is that we are definitely on the precipice of something unprecedented in this country, and nobody knows what it is. I don't care if you think you're psychic, you think you figured it out, you read all the trade journals, you don't know what it is, I don't know what it is, nobody knows what it is. It's just a constant haze right now.
Indeed. And remember, you know, you talk about the remodeling of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Whenever something like that comes up, David, I always think of the website that Jude sent us some time back, that religious fundamentalist group, Reclaim Seven Mountains. And, of course, one of the mountains that they have to reclaim for Jeebus is the media, and that includes movies. You know, I'm sure you've seen Pleasantville, right?
Yeah.
Joan Allen, what's his name from Spider-Man?
Right.
Yeah. That's what the Republicans want. It's a monochrome world where everything, you know, it's psychotic to even think that it's achievable, because all of those things are predicated upon awful societal repression.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they want, and that's where they're willing to spend whatever needs to be spent, do whatever needs to be done, kill whoever needs killing to get it.
You know, the thing is, Bob, is that, and this is what a lot of progressives fail to understand, is they, and we talked about this before, they get excited when someone fails. I keep trying to explain this to you. There is no failure in Right-Wingville. They get rewarded for being stupid. They get rewarded for messing up. They get rewarded for effing up.
Yeah, and going back to the teabaggers, let's do remember that this is sort of the little breather between the 2010 midterms and 2012. They will be ramped up with all the money that they could ever possibly need. They'll all be riding around in the giant tricked-out coach buses all over the country by the time 2012 is well underway.
It's going to be crazy. I mean, they got the headlines going every single day. You know, they had the hip-hop barbecue one going on the fall.
Oh, today. Jesus, I knew you were going to go there. I knew it.
But, Bob, did you see the one that they were putting besides the hip-hop barbecue on a lot of these conservative sites? I don't know if you caught this one. Did you catch the other headline that was on Drudge and everywhere else? And I was like, wow, these people will sink to no low. They'll sink to lower than you can even imagine, low past low. It was barefoot Obama dancing in the Rose Garden.
Oh. Now, well, no, the hip-hop barbecue is enough to make me crazy. You know, the screen cap from Fox's Facebook page, Obama's hip-hop barbecue didn't create jobs. And of course,
did you know they closed the comments page on that? Why do you think that is?
Oh, it had to just be an absolute Klan rally.
And
the picture they used, it's a picture of Charles Barkley next to Barack Obama, next to Chris Rock, next to Jay-Z. Oddly enough, there's no picture of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, because, you know, when it comes to Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, you know, they're your real sort of SNCC Black Panther contingent, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Well, you know, I think Fox might have a point if the chef was Flavor Flav and he had a 2012 Barack Obama clock and a Viking helmet and he was the chef for the White House. For Barack Obama, then it would be a hip hop.
Yeah, nobody in their right mind's going to let Flavor Flav near a barbecue, though. Well, I mean, near the grill.
Well, you know,
because he hurt himself.
Well, you know, it's interesting. He has his own restaurant line, by the way.
Oh Jesus, I had no idea.
he does a lot of. I think his expertise is chicken. His recipe for chicken. And that is not.
Well, I mean, his name is Flavor Flav.
Yeah. I mean. So, I mean, the whole thing with all these news headlines.
Hip-hop barbecue. You know, the man doesn't even have... I mean, and again, there's plenty of stuff to get frustrated with the guy over, but he doesn't even get to celebrate his own birthday the way he wants to. Oh, no, he invited too many Negroes. Chris Rock was there? Why, that filthy mouth... I'm surprised he let Sasha and Malia around him.
There is no slow news day for Fox. They can generate a see that's the worst thing about it. They can generate a headline like nothing over stupidity. If we tried this, it'd be like, "What the hell are you doing? That's not a headline. Get that out of here."
I know.
He's not having a barbecue. What the hell are you doing? Get this out of here. We're gonna move this to like section Z.
Yeah.
Of the paper.
Sub one.
One headline. One line.
Obama has birthday. Socialists rejoice.
I mean, if we tried that with Rick Perry, that's what I mean. We can't do.
And, you know, he's having his big Pray for America today, tomorrow thing.
Are they going to put that on the...
Yes, it will be televised. I've been getting emails from the American Family Association. They always begin, "Dear Pastor." I chuckle every time. They want me to hold a party so people can watch it remotely on the interweb tubes.
I just wanted to basically I also called in not to just rile people up on the hip hop barbecue, but the fact that again, Bob, we need to start concerning us. We need to start when stories come up that. Have a little bit of justice in them. We should hear about that frequently as well, because there's a lot of people working on the front lines. And the verdict just came down for the Danziger shootout in New Orleans.
Yeah, five convictions.
Five convictions, right.
And, you know, didn't just manufacture evidence. These cops manufactured witnesses and statements.
Right.
They planted a gun. Oh, this was filthy. This was absolutely filthy. And I saw a little bit of irony in the fact that that verdict came out in New Orleans, David, at the same time that two operatives from Think Progress, one of them was Lee Fong and the other one, Keith something, I think, they were manhandled and given the bum's rush out of the ALEC convention at the Marriott there. You know, the security guard roughed them up, you know, battered them, tried to take their camera away. You get that camera off of me, boy. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You ain't moving fast enough, son. I want you running out of this hotel.
But see,
irony.
The thing that people, and this is what a lot of people have to understand when it comes to social justice and equal rights for everyone, is that on the very surface, or on the very equation of it, life is a gamble. Everything is a gamble when it comes to, and these people and these lawyers and these attorneys and everyone who was the ACLU, I imagine, everyone that was fighting for these convictions, they got them. Now now for every conviction you get a mistrial, you get not guilty and all of that, but it's important to understand this. That's more than just a symbolic that those people, they actually put their necks on the line, and they got those convictions that nobody thought that they could get, and that's important.
Very much so, absolutely. And hopefully it doesn't end here. You know, they still got to be sentenced, and hopefully more will be learned about the police's role in making the horror of Katrina more of a horror than it even was.
Well, you know, there's another story about, you know, the police brutality never ends. Have you heard the story about the homeless man getting beaten to death? Apparently, it's on video or something.
Oh, Jesus, it's disgusting.
And again, that's why we have to have
for the fun of it, just beat him to death for the fun of it.
Yeah, I mean that's something that we definitely have to continue bringing awareness on. And just one last thing. Before I go, everything that's happening right now, we need to constantly, every time there's a positive story out there, no matter how small it is, we need to push it out there.
Agreed, very much so.
And with that, I leave you on to your next caller.
All right, go get the barbecue starter.
We're
gonna get us a stack of that Kurt Volkswagen and burn, baby, burn.
I'm gonna find Kurt Volkswagen's tomb, and I tell you what, we gonna have ourselves some religious moments.
And we'll play Lee Greenwood in the background as the books burn.
I hear you, Brother Bob, on that one.
All right, David, you take care, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, later.
Bye now. David from Maine. Kurt Volkswagen. I had to mute my mic when he said that. I shot lemonade out my nose. Kurt Volkswagen. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yo, calling straight from the hip-hop barbecue. How's it hanging?
What's
there,
happening,
Bobby?
Spike?
Oh, man. I don't know who writes these hashtags or what you want to call them, headlines, allegedly, for Fox News.
Hip-hop barbecue doesn't create jobs.
Yeah, hip-hop barbecue doesn't create jobs, except for, you know, catering crew. But, I do wish I could read some of these stories talking about the hip-hop barbecue, because you know they're going to go off into the stereotypes of what was on the menu. You just know. It doesn't just end at hip-hop.
Oh,
barbecue.
No.
They're making references to other stereotypes, too, involving black people and food. You just know it.
Sure.
There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah, you know, there's no doubt in my mind. This is the same racist kind of crap my dead grandfather would say, and this is what a, quote, fair and balanced news outlet is doing. Fair and balanced, so long as part of the balance is a noose.
Yeah.
Also, I also love the whole thing with the ATF and the guns to Mexico, and, you know, the gun-running operation, as all the legitimate news sources call it, but Fox News and the National Lunatic Rifle Association prefer to use the title of a 20th Century Fox movie starring conservatives' favorite actor, Vin Diesel, who, by the way, they probably love him because they don't realize he's half black. is Fast and Furious.
Oh,
you... Have you heard them using this term?
No.
Fast and Furious scandal.
No.
Yeah, they...
No.
Yeah, that's what they're calling this ATF matter, is the Fast and Furious scandal. And then the NRA today, in their inept stupidity, as always, on the quest for finding any way to oppose anything a Negro does, went as far as to, first of all, so the ATF flooding the market, the black market in Mexico with machine guns. Probably a bad idea. Wasn't the best strategy. That actually started under Ashcroft, but people only want to focus on...
No. That's entirely Eric Holder's. Yeah, right.
Well...
Even though Ashcroft started it.
Eric Holder also just carried on a lot of Ashcroft's policies when he took over. He's really not done anything else.
Yeah, and just remember, there's that little interregnum of Alberto torture boy Gonzalez as well.
Right. So, you know, these are the same ideas the predecessors also had of ways to fight crime. So, alright, so it's a bad idea. I mean, especially if you're going to allow those guns to get into the market with the fire intent still in them. I don't know, I think the better trick would have been if you did that trick with the guns, make it so they don't work. So when they get down there, you know, where they're going to come back and get their money back.
Click.
I don't know. What's the big deal if you rip off organized crime a little in an investigation? But that's just my thinking. So anyways, so that was a bad idea the ATF had. So now what they want to do is federally licensed gun sales, FFL license holders, whatever you want to call them, who live in the border states, if they're selling multiple of the same long guns to people, to report these to the Justice Department. So, you know, they could look into, like, why someone might feel the need to buy 10 AR-15s in 1 year in Arizona.
That is a violation of our God-given Jesus-approved Second Amendment. Man's got a right in America to own 100 AR-15s if he wants them, and he can buy them anywhere he wants. Jesus.
Right, which, of course, is hilarious, because what they're doing is they're actually going and fighting for the drug cartels right now. But, you know, Wayne LaPierre, a typical right-wing whore, will do anything for a buck. Just like the right-wingers in Nassau County, New York, who, because the owner of the Islanders spent a lot of money lobbying them, had a special election that cost Nassau County, New York $2 million on whether or not to build a new arena for the worst-rated team in attendance in the NHL, the Islanders. It lost. My personal favorite that night, all the angry Long Island right-wingers, which, by the way, Nassau County, that's... aside from the fact it gave us Billy Joe, also gave us Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Joey Buttafuoco, just a name to a few good alumni from Nassau County, New York. And my personal favorite on Twitter was a Twitter account with a Don't Tread on Me avatar. I believe it was at No Taxation, griping how dare the short-sighted voters in Nassau County vote against it, all the tax revenue they're going to lose when the Islanders leave. Really? I thought you were against taxation. How come you're suddenly for taxation? Oh, that's right, because when you get the
right,
money
see,
for it,
it's
well,
only social, like I said, it's not social, with Albert, it ain't socialism if you're the one getting it.
Exactly, precisely. Michelle Wachman, you know, that crazy one, she certainly loves socialism when it's helping her crazy Christian causes.
Or paying people to get homo nomo'd.
Yeah.
But, you know, no, you raise the larger issue of these, you know, the way that we get fleeced and ripped off. And so, you know, look at Alabama, okay, Spike? Consider, you know, they came, you know, they've got this stupid immigration law that makes Arizona's 1070 look liberal, all right?
Yeah.
So... 16. Now the Justice Department has sued him. The Episcopal Church has sued him. The Methodist Church has sued him. The Roman Catholic Church has sued them. The ACLU has sued them. The National Immigration Law Center has sued them. And a coalition of just plain old-fashioned day-by-day Alabamians has sued the state of Alabama over this dumbass law that didn't have a chance of being found constitutional in the first place, because it's grounded in a failure that you learn on the first day of law school, okay? That's how ignorant this is. Now, what happened to all those fiscally conservative Alabamians
who want to be careful with the taxpayer's dollar, and they're paying too many taxes already, right, so far with me?
Yep.
Well, defending this lawsuit is going to cost a blue-jillion dollars. And it's money just thrown away. It is money down a rat hole. It is good money after bad, Spike, because this bill was passed in bad faith. Everybody from home to Rome told these ignorant baggers that it was unconstitutional. It is unconstitutional. It will be unconstitutional. Amen forever, worlds without end, you know? But they are going to wind up spending a purple ton of taxpayer dollars defending this dumb thing in court.
Do any of the
fiscal conservatives, teabaggers in Alabama have the common sense to look up and say, wait a minute, deliberately passing a law that's going to cost us a fortune to defend that we're going to lose on anyway, that ain't very fiscally conservative. I think maybe I done been chumped. Well, chump.
Well, look at the city of Hazleton, where my incredibly inept member of Congress, Lou Barletta, hails from, who passed the immigration
law. Oh, he is a piece of work.
Well, he's a total teabagger all the way, buck teeth and all. And
toaster.
They passed a law which they knew could not be held, but they fought it in many levels of court. He even had I'll watch the term I use not to offend Italian Americans, but his partner in crime from South Philly, Joey Vinto, come out and go, hey, I'll pay for defending it. This way it don't cost the city any money,
Yeah, that's Joey DeWeasel.
Yeah, but, Joey just order in English, Joey Vinto, who then it wants you to say.
Oh my God, that's that guy.
Yeah. By the way, two things. One, private people never paid for it. The city of Hazleton had to pay the bill to defend the law, which meant the taxpayers had to pay. And two, it's actually not legal in Pennsylvania for a private person to pay the bills for a municipality.
Right. No, you couldn't if you wanted to. It has to be paid for out of the public purse. Yeah. Well chumped.
But the public is always played for suckers all the time, including with the unemployment news today. It went from 9.1 to 9.2 because there was a better-than-expected job growth. 117,000 jobs in all of America were created in July. 117,000! That's smaller than the crowd you'll find at the Indianapolis 500. That's how many jobs were created in all of America last month. And why is that better? Oh, because they only predicted 75,000. Really? That's the best the Obama administration predicted for July was 75,000. So because 117,000 got, whoa, happy days are here.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the stock market celebrated by just going flat.
Right. Pay no mind to the fact that 14 million are collect unemployment and 24 million are unemployed in America because 10 million are not receiving benefits at this point, one way or another. So there's 24 million unemployed Americans. But, hey, 117,000, or like the total for two Phillies home game sellouts, got jobs in July. So, woo! Looking great. Yeah, isn't it amazing we got this terrible compromise that gives the shaft or the sun doesn't shine to the working class while really helping out the wealthy, the quote-unquote job creators.
Yeah, those job creators. Whenever I hear the word creator, Spike, I think God. They're endowed by their creator. Well, yada, yada, yada. That means God. So, we need to just go ahead and jump that hurdle. What we have to call them now, because this seems to be the level of reverence in which they are held by the baggers and the right-wingers and the repiglickens, let's not call them job creators anymore. Let's call them job gods.
Yeah. The job gods. Job hoarders, because they can give more jobs, they just choose not to, because they want to keep all the money. So they're wealth hoarders. We as a culture seem to love these shows about hoarders on reality television. Why not have a show called Wealth Hoarders? And then we can show hedge funds people and show how they're really screwing everyone with their mental disorder of greed. I guess that wouldn't sell too well, because that would upset the advertisers and broadcast them. I don't know. just another crazy idea in my head. This is what happens when I'm talking to people in Southern California pitching shows. I come up with crazy ideas on the fly. But, you know, it just makes me laugh that, you know, they're trying to paint like the economy is getting better. First of all, the only reason the stock market went slightly up today is because the number one rule of investing is when the stocks go down in value, that's when you buy.
So run and buy.
People today, right, the wealthiest people today went out and bought in mass numbers and stocked up. Although, sad day for many of them, when the quarter is coming near an end and everyone has to give their figures, the market's going to go down again, because the markets always go down at the end of a bad quarter, not the middle of it. So get ready. In September, things are going to be even worse.
Game on.
Especially when all these back-to-school jobs and all these people working at Staples part-time for 3 weeks end up back unemployed. So, you know, the worst has yet to hit. It's only a matter of time before it's official. We're in a depression, but hey, at least the rich didn't have to pay their fair share. And but before I go, I generally dislike Huffington Post because it, like MSNBC, is about the status quo in the corporate Democratic Party. Just exactly why you can no longer find Cenk Uygur on MSNBC. Don't shake the boat that the wealthy Democrats are on. Don't mention Obama's worrying more about the same people the conservatives are. So that's why I've never been a big fan of Huffington Post. But one person who's a regular that I do enjoy is Roseanne Barr. She might be the only person who writes there that I actually have any interest in hearing from. In large part because even though she might be a bit loud and have an annoying voice, she's not an idiot like the one from Saturday Night Live, whose name slips my mind up the top of my head.
Oh, Victoria Jackson.
Yeah.
Wasn't that easy?
You know, Roseanne's actually smart. And Roseanne last night going on right-wing Leno show, which I kind of love that angle. I think that's her way of thumbing her nose at the conservatives and announcing she's going to run for president with the Green Tea Party, which, that's almost Mark Twain-level political satire, just totally mocking the right wing in their face.
Hey, speaking of such things, by the way, tonight's real time, the panel that Bill Maher has pulled together, Spike, I wish I could watch this. Anthony Bourdain will be on real time tonight, and you know, frankly, you know, he'll get to say the F word and not get censored. I would bet it might actually be kind of interesting because he'll get to the talk about what a bunch of batshit crazy little freaks the teabaggers are, and I have a feeling he will hold forth on it.
Oh, I think so.
Because he said so in the past, and I mean, they hopped up and down, and they flapped their little monkey wings, and oh, they had a fit.
But he's a New Yorker, so he doesn't really give a damn. See, that's the thing. People from New York, Philly, you know, when they say something, people get offended and go after him. They'll be like, yeah, F you, man. I don't care if you're offended. Who cares?
Yeah, I think about that video that Maura sent me some months back, because we still get a giggle out of it here. It's a nature video on the honey badger with a different overlay of voiceover. And there's a line in there, honey badger don't give a shit. That's become sure. Yeah, honey badger don't give a... Yeah.
That was a popular viral tweet bot on Twitter for a little while, the honey badger saying that.
Yeah.
But, I missed him last night in Colbert, and I also missed his episode where he was in Cuba, which...
The Cuba episode was interesting, but you could tell that there was a little bit of restriction on the things he could and could not say, but he still got to ask some pretty good questions and made some good observations.
Well, the best was when he went to Panama, because that really was his kind of almost assault on the legacy of George H.W. Bush. Since really, the two things George H.W. Bush is, well, three if we count the broccoli speech, that he's most well remembered for is Desert Storm and Saddam Hussein with Kuwait and Panama with Noriega, because although most Americans don't realize, when Noriega was working for the CIA, it's when he got uppity and stopped listening that we came after him. It was okay. He tortured and just brutalized.
Right, but once he decided to go Tony Montana, game on, game over.
That's right. Once he decided to say hello to his liberal friend, Which, by the way, that was on TV last night. Before I forget, and another slam on the right wing on my way out, if I can. All this week, AMC mob movies hosted by Rudy Giuliani.
No.
Which is appropriate. Yes, which is appropriate because Rudy Giuliani, his father, was a no good goon for his mother's father, who was a bookie for the mob, which is exactly why Rudy ran the city like a thug, because, hey, that's how daddy did it, you know? Hey,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Bada-bing, bada-boom. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, good hearing from you, Spike, brother. We will talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
All right, take care.
Later, man. Bye. Didn't know Rudy Giuliani's daddy was a thug. Everything makes so much more sense now. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
What's up, Brother Cossack?
You, brother.
Just trying.
Couple of things. One, you realize that they're clapping and crowing over the fact that government expenditures are now at the lowest they've been since the Eisenhower administration.
Yeah, they think that's great news.
Yeah. Well, I think it is great news. And being the traditionalist that I am, I think since expenditures are at the lowest since the Eisenhower administration, we need to bring back the Eisenhower tax rates.
Hear, hear. I mean, good Republican, right?
Anything over $3 million is 91%. Flat off the top.
And yet we still managed to have incredibly wealthy people back then.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
But that's slavery, and that's Obama taking white people's farms, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gee, God.
And also, we're now paying the lowest tax rates in over 80 years. So I'd like to know, where are the jobs? Isn't that the whole idea that there's no reason to pay for tax cuts because they pay for themselves? And the more you cut taxes, the more they create jobs. Bob, we've been doing that for 30 years, since the Reagan administration. Where are the jobs?
Still ain't working, is it, Cossack?
I don't see it. You know, I got into a discussion with my brother and brought that up. I said, 91% off the top for anything over $3 million. I don't believe in that. I believe people should get everything they can earn. I said, listen, after $3 million a year, all you can do with that kind of money is mischief. You know, it gives people enough, like the Koch brothers, enough money to buy states and to buy legislatures and to buy legislators.
That's a great line, Cossack. At that point, all you can do is make mischief.
Correct.
Because nobody with massive amounts of money has ever behaved themselves, really, have they?
No. And, you know, let's be brutally honest. $3 million. If you had $3 million a year, do you think you would want for anything?
You know, I can't imagine that I would.
You know.
And you know what? Pay a third of that in taxes. That's $2 million, and I'm still thinking we're going to get by.
Yeah, somehow. You know. Just shorten the weeks of...
Now, to go back to the Eisenhower tax rates, Cossack, of course, we'd have to adjust the money for inflation, so that would be like... Everything over the first, what, $10 million?
Well, no, that is adjusted.
Oh, that's adjusted.
That's just $3 million in today's dollars.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, $3 million in today's dollars. And like I said, I really don't see where you'd be suffering with $3 million and whatever else. Yeah, and that's just the top marginal rate. You don't pay the 91% on your entire $3 million. Everything above $3
million. Right.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Or we could go back to Roosevelt's 97%.
You know, these are all worthy, Cossack, but the one thing that I keep coming back to is that, you know, these people worship. They have deified that greasy-headed old freak Ronald Reagan.
Right. And
well, why can't we go? I mean, everything Ronald Reagan did was right and good and approved of by God. I mean, that's what they say, right?
Yeah.
So why in the hell can't we go back to Ronald Reagan's tax rates?
I still prefer Eisenhower. But...
Well, I do too. But even that would be a quantum leap forward at this point.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. We've gone down the route of cutting taxes and cutting taxes and cutting taxes.
And cutting taxes doesn't do anything good for the economy.
No.
I mean, can we finally can we finally just say that?
No. That's obvious. You know, it's, like I said, the argument I got into with my brother, he says, well, I think people should deserve to keep everything they earn. Well, like I said, anything, you know, if you're making over $3 million, anything above that ought to be gravy anyway.
Well, but if you keep everything you earn, how do you have roads? How do you have clean water to drink?
I agree. But that's the thing. These people don't want to live in a society, and they don't. And the rich don't. They don't need our society. If the roads get too bad, hell, they'll just go to and fro in helicopters. They can afford it.
But you still, now, something's still got to bring them their lobsters, Cossack.
They'll hire a helicopter to have them brought in. You know, they can pay to take baths in Perrier water. And some of them, I'm sure, do. You know,
Jesus.
But it's totally ludicrous, Bob. I mean, we've totally disproven by this point in time the idea that, A, tax cuts pay for themselves. They don't. They never have. They never will. Secondly, we've proven that tax cuts do not make jobs.
We've proven that tax cuts actively harm the economy.
Correct. Because, you know, you have to cut back the budget then, okay? Well, we cut back the budget and the stock market went into a nosedive. Does that kind of tell you something there, maybe?
Yeah, I think there's a hint in there. Maybe a clue.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ludicrous to suggest all these things and not to think about the ramifications. You know, if you want no government, fine.
Just say so.
Yeah. And fire the police departments, because the police departments are there for society. Again, they're not here for the ultra-wealthy. They can afford their own security, and they do. Try to get onto the estate of one of these mega-wealthy and see how far you can.
Oh, try to go to the ALEC conference in New Orleans and see what happens. I mean,
exactly.
That video at Think Progress is more than a little bit telling.
Yeah. And the guy who was there, who wrote about it, he actually talked to the people at the Marriott. He said, do you have a problem with me sitting in the lobby tweeting about it? They said, no. It was the ALEC goons that threw him out. And the second time around, the ALEC people prevailed upon Marriott to kick his butt.
You know, I wish they would have called the police. Of course, then again, it's the police in New Orleans, so maybe not. But it certainly seems like from the facts as presented that they've got grounds for a lawsuit.
I would think.
And if nothing else, make those sorry bastards at ALEC spend some of that money from BP on lawyers.
Well, the problem of it is a lot of the money that was spent was public money to fly all these frickin' public officials there. These are tax dollars. These people aren't paying out of their pockets.
Oh, hell no. No. Not at all.
You know, it's totally insane. I mean, yeah, like I said, if we don't want a society, say so. Then kiss your roads goodbye, kiss your fire departments goodbye, kiss the police department goodbye.
And, you know, there are actual questions we can ask of them. But, of course, the for-profit media, being culpable in this entire process, as noted, never asks those questions. Let's just ask some of these rotten bastards straight up, Cossack. How much, I mean, let's ask Grover Norquist, how much do you want a cop to earn? You're obviously the leader of the Republican Party. Whoever gets the nomination is going to have to bow and scrape to you. So just start announcing what Republican policy will be, Grand Negus Norquist. How much does a firefighter make in America? How much does a cop make in America?
As little as...
How much does a school teacher make?
Right. As little as possible to keep body and soul together. That's how you... That's what leads to police corruption.
Sure.
That's what leads to the apple-filching cop on the beat. You know.
Yeah.
There was a reason why they filched apples. They had to get by somehow.
They had to eat.
Yeah.
God almighty. It's stunning to contemplate. Cossack, brother, you have yourself a good weekend, all right?
All right, you too, bud.
All right. See you, man.
Say hi to Agnes and kids.
Sure will.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
From North Florida, that's the Cossack, and we go onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Konbanwa, Bob-san. How are you?
I'm good, Tim. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
Tough day.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it is very, very, very tough. It was something I'm going to speak to my mom about my aunt. We do this every year. And I heard the story so many times, but I want to hear it again so that I wouldn't forget.
Yeah, there are a lot of never forgets in this world, and that's one of them.
But it's not just the destruction, but also, you know, when my aunt, excuse me, when my aunt was alive and how she was an awesome cook. And we had family gatherings during holidays and whatnot. I miss her a lot. I mean, she was awesome. She was the, what's that word? The maternal leader within the family. And no one messed with her because...
Matriarch.
The matriarch. And she survived Hiroshima, so no one really, you know, disagreed with her or told her anything. Didn't mess with her. And the men stayed out of the kitchen because she, my mother, my aunt were the cook. And everyone listened to my aunt for his regulars. And I know it is, it's tough. It's, my mom starts tearing up when she talks about, you know, about my aunt. My mom misses her. Our whole family misses her. And this, like I said, the story that my mom told me, because she never told any of the kids, you know, like my brother, or whatever. She told my dad's sister-in-law, she told my mom and my dad what she experienced. And over the years, my mom told me what she experienced. I mean, I remember the letter that I sent you earlier today, when I told you that the walls collapsed, that's the only thing she remembered after the explosion. But she woke up, my dad said she doesn't know how long it was up. Maybe a couple of hours, maybe a day or a week. But when they crawled out, she said, if you want to know what hell looked like, that August 6th was hell. If there is a thing about hell.
Jesus.
Dead bodies everywhere. People walking in a daze. And that really gross description I was telling you about the woman dragging the fetus by the umbilical cord. She saw that. Help, you know, she tried to help people by pulling him out of the rubble that there's skin was gone, come off because it's burnt all the way down to the bone. It's beyond her degree. And you see scalp. People drinking water, you know, because, you know.
Let us simply hope, Tim. Let us simply hope that the United States remains the only country ever to have used a nuclear device on another country. Let us simply hope that.
And on March 11th, they did it again. And again, it's in my family fund of Shima. On March 11th, my goddamn nuclear power plant was destroyed. We don't know the condition of our family of Shima because our relatives aren't saying anything, and I got a feeling they don't know what's going on. The land's contaminated. And the area my aunts, my relatives are in, Aizuwakamatsu in Fukushima, it too might be contaminated, even though it's 50 miles west of the ocean.
And I just lost the phones. Sorry about that, Tim. 29 minutes before the hour, and that was a real humdinger. We've apparently got a thunderstorm blowing through here, and it just took the whole system down. If you ring in, we'll have to let the thing reboot, so just be patient for a couple of minutes. If you can't get through, keep trying. We'll finish out this Friday on the front porch with conversation, if at all possible. Andy straightening me up on Reagan's tax rates. When Reagan entered office, the top tax rate was 70%. He lowered it 50% in 1981, lowered it to 50%, then to 28%. Note, lowest top tax rate, Treasury Secretary Andrew Mellon in 1923 set it at 25% in 1988. We don't want to be at Reagan's 88 rate. I believe Pappy Bush raised the top tax rate, and so did Clinton. Before Bush got into office, the top tax rate was 39% at the end of Clinton's second term, 1999. Let's go back to the upper tax bracket before Reagan was elected, 70%. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. And a couple of other emails to get. Mark writing in from Florida. There's a gated community behind Turkey Point Nuclear Plant. Has its own private water plant, police, and fire department. No entrance without a badge. Palm Beach has a curfew for maintenance pickups by 5 p.m. Brinks Police, Emergency One Fire Department, Sears Teachers, GE Judges, and oh yeah, I forgot, he says, Corporate Highways, owned by Siemens. Meanwhile, Ayn Rand died on Social Security and Medicare. Never forget. Andy also said, I love Spike's rant. The non-farm payroll at $117,000 was truly anemic and paltry. You need 150,000 new jobs just to take care of the natural new entries into the market. But the unemployment percentage declined by 0.1% to 9.1%. Wow, says Andy. Also, May and June non-farm payroll numbers were adjusted upwards, but they're still overall weak numbers. And they're going to stay weak, of course, because, the job gods... Not job creators, the job gods are exactly not that. And from David in South Carolina, the Horn family scoops again. This time I happened to post this on Facebook yesterday, but on almost every issue, someone from our Horn family usually is a mile ahead of the curve. We are tuned in, says David in South Carolina. Quote, it's no mistake that they're crashing the stock market on President Obama's birthday. You know Fox will be looking for photos and videos of the president partying while the market crashes. And there it was, dancing, barefoot, White House lawn, hip-hop barbecue. God, you'd think he'd invited in. NWA was there? You remember the hissy the right-wingers had when Willie Nelson came to the White House? You know, why can't they be good white people like the Beach Boys? That 4th of July is the Beach Boys? Remember when the Beach Boys were too radical for Nancy Reagan, was it? The Beach Boys. No, what we need is a nice brass band. That's what we need. And by the way, David in Tennessee offering this, and just sort of roll around, let this one roll around for a little while before it comes to rest. The ace between the Repig Lickin's knees. Now that the census numbers are out, don't forget The very red state governments will be doing that redistricting thingy of theirs. That means something like a minimum of 18 newly created Repiglican seats. And if they gain them, we've lost them. My Tennessee public school arithmetic tells me that's a swing of 36. Strap in, America. Thanks, David. That's frightening. Yeah, that is a 36-seat swing. Darlene, with a query. Does it really matter if any progressives get on this super Congress? All the Repiglicans have to do is hold out, and if no agreements are reached, deeper budget cuts are enacted automatically. This agreement is rigged in the Repig's favor. All they need is one conservadem to agree, and the Repigs get what they want. Or all the Repigs need to do is hold out and not agree to anything, and the Repigs get what they want. Boehner and McConnell have already openly stated they're stacking the deck on their end. They are open about the fact that they are rigging this super Congress. They, all caps here, they win either way. We need to press Pelosi and Reid not to appoint anyone to begin with. Pelosi hinted at that. If this debt ceiling agreement is based on seven Repigs, seven super Dem Congress structure, then if no Dems show, the whole thing folds. We are totally screwed if this super Congress meets. Thanks, Darlene. So the phones are rebooted if you want to get back in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, my God, Bob, it's me.
Hey, Tracy, what's up?
Not much, just I got something to make you smile.
Okay.
I made a right winger cry in my cab yesterday.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, by the way, I have customers in my cabs. They're wondering, who is she talking to? I'm on the phone with my favorite tacos. I got two gentlemen in my cab from the Netherlands.
Hi, like, fares.
So, no, I made two guys. This one guy, I was talking, you know, remember I told you I'm still learning about stuff. So I decided to start to educate myself about supply side economics.
Oh. While driving? Ow.
No. Silly. No, but I, you know, because I'm like, supply side economics, what is that? And I, you know, I've heard about it for the last 30 years, trickle down economics and tell me it's raining. You know, I've heard about this stuff all by the last 30 years. I'm like, what the hell does it mean? So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, oh, so supply side economics basically means so you are giving the breaks, tax breaks to rich people and loopholes to businesses. So you're helping the supplier, which is all well and good. But homie, what about the demand side of that? He's like, well, it still helps the economy. I'm like, no, because see, you need consumers to buy things. And if you have nobody that has, if no one has any money, what difference does it make if you have all these supplies? Doesn't the supplies just, I don't know, rot or what have you? If you can't, you know, you got all these cars sitting on car lots that nobody can buy. You got groceries and goods sitting in stores that nobody can buy. Then what happens to your supply? There was a lot of flubbering and blustering and, you know.
Well, that never happens.
It was fun. It was the most fun I've had in a long time. And besides listening to the prayer that you played yesterday for the invocation.
Oh, yes. Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Am I smoking hot? Why? I'm like, Lord Jesus, help my soul. he is blessing. He is saying, all thing I was waiting for him is to talk about the Doritos. What was that movie, Talladega Night?
Yeah.
And they had all this spread, and I'm still mad at my brother for telling me that movie was funny. You know, because I actually paid money and bought the DVD. And
Talladega Nights. What are you talking about?
Well, see, you're white. You're allowed.
Well, okay.
I grew up in that culture. You know, my brother is the darkest of night, and I'm like, dude, seriously? How did you think that? Did I ask them what I should have? It's my fault. I should have asked a qualifying question before I bought the movie. Should have asked them, were you high?
Oh.
When you watched the movie.
Oh.
And the answer was, yes, sis. I'm like, well, see, and that's my fault.
Yeah, but no, I mean, you got to admit, like a spider monkey on Mountain Dew is pretty funny.
I mean, cause, well, actually, I couldn't watch the whole movie, Bob. I got through the part when they were praying over the, you know, with all the name brand food, the Doritos, the Ritz crackers.
Dear little baby Jesus.
Dear little baby Jesus. You know, but what made me laugh is that the prayer that old boy did on national television was pretty much to the same thing that Will Ferrell did in Nigga Nights.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It was because the video, the shot pans out to all the drivers getting ready to go and everything, and they're just laughing their butts off.
Right, because they get the joke.
Yeah, they're on the inside of the joke, exactly. You know, but the thing is, if I ever do that prayer on prayer meeting Wednesday, I can't thank God for my children that we call the three little K's.
Oh no, that would be the ugliest thing ever. But it's been one of those weeks. I've been kind of thinking about the whole everything, the debt ceiling thing, and people, you know, myself included, panicking about what's going on, and then you still have people like Randy Rhoads and Stephanie Miller say, but he did a good job. Now, see, Bob, I'm not the most, like I said, I'm still learning about politics, and I'm still trying to figure out stuff, but, you know, you're more in tune with this stuff. Am I not getting something? How did he do a good job? How is this a good thing?
I can't answer that and make any sense, Tracy, because I don't see where it is one. But I want to be very careful here. I'm not trying to say anything nasty about
Randy Rhoads and Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, but you know, there's when you get to the big time of this racket.
That's access. That's right.
Access.
You know.
Because, you know, one of these, you know, if you keep saying nice things, one of these days you may get that little invitation inviting you to come to the White House for beans and Kool-Aid with Barack Obama. Because, you know, that's how the liberals get treated. Remember the beginning of the Obama administration? That first sort of little depressing moment when he went over to George Will's house and they had a 19-course dinner and Lark's Vomit canapes and hummingbird tongue sandwiches, lady finger sandwiches, and, you know, and they talked about how important and how serious they all were, and he said how he wanted to get along with the right wing, and, you know, and then the next day they come back to the White House and invite some liberal bloggers over for beans and Kool-Aid.
Right. Ooh, yummy. Beans and see, and I'm just now hearing about the hip hop barbecue, so when I get home, I'm gonna have to look that up.
Oh yeah, that four across sort of photographic lineup of Charles Barkley, Barack Obama, Chris Rock, and Jay-Z. I mean,
were they really all there, or were they just
They were all in, yeah, they were there.
Okay.
But no picture of Tom Hanks or Rita Wilson.
Right, because you cannot tell me that they didn't have some good white liberals there, too.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Tom Hanks. And I love me some Tom Hanks with a sarcastic ass. I love me some Tom Hanks. And it's just, you know, it just tickles me when I think about all the stuff, you know, between... Oh, by the way, when I was talking about, you know, pissing off the right-winger about when I was asking him questions, and his end result was, you know... Because I said something, he's like, well, this is all, everybody's just corrupt. It's all corrupt.
Yeah, that's it. Right, and that's from the same school of thought that says, well, they all done it. Nixon just got caught. He wasn't any worse than the rest.
So it just tickles me. Oh, and by the way, I actually went ahead, because I do have an iPad with the Kindle app on it, and I read my first book on Kindle.
Pretty amazing.
Okay. Because it's like, you know, I'm not that smart. I am kind of smart, but my vocabulary, but what I love, one of the things that I'm loving about the Kindle is when I run up on a word that I don't know.
Yeah, there's a button. A button for that.
And the dictionary comes up, and I can get the dictionary, the definition of the word. So the words that I've been learning lately are, supply side economics, plutocrat, oligarch. What else have I been learning?
Don't forget kleptocracy. That's a great one.
I haven't run into that one yet. So what is a kleptocracy?
Well, it's like a plutocracy run by kleptomaniacs.
Okay. Well, I was close with kleptomania.
Bingo.
It's just so that's basically what's happening with our country now. We're ripe for the picking. Oh, and I started reading Shock Doctrine.
Oh, that'll keep your head spinning.
And see, basically, when I was reading it, and I just had the one light on in my bedroom when I was reading it, and I had to turn on all the lights in my house.
Yeah, it is. It's like reading political science psycho. The people perpetrating the Shock Doctrine are, for all intents and purposes, the political equivalent of Norman Bates.
I think more of Nofrostro. What was it? You know, not the sexy Dracula, the scary.
No, Nosferatu. Yeah.
Not Nosferatu. That's more like it, because it's like, you know, because I'm now looking under my bed and in my closet for the boogeyman, because, you know, the way that they prey upon people's and their disasters, or they did, you know, they basically wiped out the entire New Orleans public school system. Oh my God. You know, they were saying that this was a good thing, that we get a chance to clean house now, because we got rid of the Negroes. You know, see, the PC way, she said it, but basically his bottom line is we got rid of all the Negroes in New Orleans. Now we can bring the good white people back now.
Right. It was ethnic cleansing.
And always,
you know, the other thing to remember about Katrina, because it won't be long before we're marking that anniversary again. The thing to remember about Katrina is that New Orleans and the lower Ninth Ward were not wiped out by the hurricane.
Nope.
They were wiped out by simple incompetence. They had been told and told and told and told that the levees were not sufficient to the job, were not sufficient to the threat at hand. And then, boom, Katrina.
It's like, oops.
Yeah, and never forget that Katrina was also a storm that was watched for 3 days.
It didn't just run up on you.
No.
But it wasn't a surprise. It's like, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. There's the reference. It was not a Norman Bates hurricane. You know,
nope.
Shower curtain, knife. No.
Shower curtain ripped the side. And, no, it was none of that. They had plenty of time. But see, the thing, because I know people that, one of my neighbors in my building, his folks were from New Orleans. And I ask about, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, they're fine. They got out. And then you hear about the other folks that didn't have the money, you know, because my neighbor was one of those high yellow, I'm getting ugly. He was one of those light skinned, okay. Nothing that I'm going to say is going to sound right, is it?
Well, you're talking to somebody who knows what a high yeller is.
Right. Redbone, no, see? Okay, anyway.
I'm cutting you off if you say blue gum.
No, I'm not going to say it. I never even heard of it. But the thing is, I'm like, the more well-to-do African-Americans. Okay, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, they got out. The people with the means got out. It was just those poor Negroes that we needed to get
rid of. The poor folks that made that city actually run.
Yeah. That made that city what it is or what it was. And now they're gone. They're in Texas, and they're in
Utah and Alabama and
Arizona and out here, some of them. You know, and it's just. But,
and, you know, there's nothing sadder than a displaced New Orleanian, because New Orleans is unlike any other place in the United States. It's the closest you can come to not being in the United States and still be there.
It's an awesome. Really? Seriously? Go ahead, stupid. Okay, I'm driving.
Okay. I just knew that wasn't aimed at me.
This guy just cut me off. But I went to New Orleans. See, here's another thing.
Has he got a Friends of Coal sticker on there? That's what they do around here.
No, he's in a real.
And they got decals that say Coal, the real black power.
No, I actually went to New Orleans. See, I tell people about this because 2001, I was in New York right before 9/11, and then 2005 I was in New Orleans right before Katrina. So basically, I have been told that I know on certain terms that I cannot leave California ever again.
Yeah. New Orleans is a very romantic place. I mean, and I don't mean
I have so much. It's just the whole the whole vibe in New Orleans.
Yeah, don't just stay off Bourbon Street and go see New Orleans, because that's just Bourbon Street ain't nothing but 80 proof Disneyland for drunks.
I was not impressed. I ate my and I drank, and I just had the best time ever.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was like you said, it's Disneyland for grown folks, except for, because it's like Vegas, but much more cultured and much more fun.
Well, and you know, for me, you know, the idea of walking places where a young Mark Twain walked, and to walk around Jackson Square and know that you're looking at things that are pretty much unchanged that a young William Faulkner looked at. No, when I was a young man, Tracy, I badly wanted to pack up bag and baggage and go to New Orleans and, you know, write my great novel. I didn't do it.
Never made it, huh?
Never made it. And it's one of those things, you know, I don't know, there's an alternate universe, I guess, where I did. Hopefully. But, it is a magical place. And, you know, anywhere you can walk down the street on Sunday morning with a Bloody Mary in your hand and get your communion that way.
And get your communion with a Bloody Mary in your hand. What more could you ask for? What more could you freaking ask for?
Yeah.
It's
I'd go down. I would go down there once a year. I'd love nothing better than to do two weeks a year in New Orleans.
I don't know if my liver or my gallbladder or anything can handle 2 weeks in New Orleans.
Well, at least a week. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
But no, not Mardi Gras, not New Year's Eve. No. Not August. You know, say late September or late April or so. Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah, I could handle that.
We can't do August in New Orleans
now.
No, really, August in L.A.
That's like trying to... No, August in New Orleans is like trying to breathe through a sponge. A wet sponge.
A wet sponge. While you have on a mat, an oxygen mask.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, we got $93.55. See, I'm actually working.
I'm moving to L.A. and getting a cab. I'm still trying to scrounge the other $30 for tonight's show. Wait a minute. You've already helped. You hush.
I didn't say a word.
I know.
I didn't work. But like I said, whenever I have a good day, you know, you could.
Oh, I know. And bless their hearts, that must have been a fun ride for them.
Oh, it was fun. Even stuck in L.A. traffic.
Are you in town or out on one of the freeways or?
Actually, no, I was on the freeway from hell, the 405, and I am now dropping off my fine friends from the Netherlands at the Universal Hilton. So everybody said, I'm on the radio show, talking on the radio show. So everybody, hey!
Hey!
So, let's see. Okay, they're all at the 95. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yes, it's great. Thank you so much. And have a great time, and hope to see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Ha-ha. The first line of tourism of any good city is its cabbies.
Yes. Yes, it is. And they gave me a really nice tip, so there you go.
Yeah, Mark just wrote in and said, ask the Netherlands passengers about their homeless or unemployed.
We had that conversation. And I would, because while I was on hold with you, I asked about their tax rates and how, yeah, they pretty much can go to school. In college, and they don't have to worry about if anybody gets sick, they can go to the doctor, you know. And they get vacation.
Yeah, great. Yeah, just nothing but pure craziness.
How dare you know? So you work, you know, and we get vacations and stuff like that. So you know, I always love asking my European customers.
Oh yeah.
About, you know.
So you're making the run? Are you making the run back and forth from LAX or something?
Well, I'm deciding whether or not I'm going to go back because, of course, it is now 6:00 in the evening in Los Angeles, and it basically took us an hour.
Whoa!
I picked them up at 4:33, and now it's 17:53, so that was an hour and 20 minutes.
Whoa! And you weren't slowing down to talk to me. I know that.
No, but I was going on average on a 405, 7 miles an hour.
Modern, oh man, modern, yeah, modern conveyances. All right, Tracy, have a wonderful weekend, dear.
You too, my love, and have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
And let's get one more call in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm getting a real faint signal from you. But anyway, this is Jug Thomas.
Yeah, hey, Thomas, what's up?
Just wanted to call you. Everybody wants you to have the blue mug, so you're going to get that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like something this clusterfuck this week. Sorry about the four-letter word there.
That's okay.
Yeah, something taking my mind off of it.
Well, we will shoot a photograph with it, Jug, and get it up on the website.
Yeah,
I probably shouldn't say get it up at the same time I'm talking about a Viagra mug.
Well, actually, I clipped the August 2nd rant. And actually, Mo ended up listening to the whole thing. I've been telling her about the what they've been trying to do on contraceptive and, you know, just how much they're coming after their bodies. And I think it was good for her to hear that whole segment.
Yeah, especially that crazy lady. Yeah. What's next, manicures and pedicures? Well, that's cool. I wish we had more time, Thomas, but have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Yeah, I know, and I just wanted to call and say, you get the true blue mug.
Awesome, and I thank you. And we'll put a fake Rush Limbaugh autograph on it.
Well, whatever, but I could never put coffee in and drink from it.
Well, we'll sit it up here in the studio next to my my cup from the. Cornerstone Community Church that says need field up.
Yeah, but we just need a diversion for the end of the weekend.
Absolutely.
End of the week and get to it. So great show.
Well, thanks for all your help and I look forward to next week.
Yeah, I do too.
All right.
But it's highlight. Bye bye.
Take care, Thomas. Bye now. Jug of Punch from the chat room, otherwise known as Thomas. And thanks to all of you. Thanks to you for your kind contributions. And thank you for your time. The most precious thing you have. That you share it is literally the sharing of life itself. And don't think for a minute that doesn't factor into our considerations. It is a precious gift you share indeed. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to Texas Bessie, our blogger, our op-ed columnist, Reverbo, headonradionetwork.com, Cavalcade of Crazy. If you've never read the whole Cavalcade of Crazy series, there's one more coming, but you need to get all caught up and read them all. Thanks to our chief engineer, webmaster, web designer, musician, show host in his own right, and all-around great guy, John Fox, down in Australia. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Since 2002, literally saving the idea of progressive talk on the Internet all by himself. And, of course, thanks go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Go there, become a member, and always...